much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You ready? This is take one.
And one, and two, and away we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm loading the bong.
Here's a new song from the Polyphonic Spree. The new album out from Polyphonic Spree. The Polyphonic Spree.
What are you talking about?
Dude, where's my car?
Hey, everybody. How about Craig Wilson? Craig Wilson?
I don't care what everyone thinks. I know I am not an alcoholic.
Well, doesn't Lisa sound feminine and attractive?
Lisa May.
And now, by joining Be the Match Mero Registry, you're giving thousands of people with life-threatening disease. Well, that's hard to say, right? That's not just me.
No, I know.
You're humoring me.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
really difficult. Yeah, impossible. Don't worry about it.
Why don't they let Kevin read more, Lisa? I don't understand why they don't give him more things to read on the air.
I would like that.
I would enjoy it very much.
Yes. Let's work on that.
It's always fun.
F you both.
Okay.
Just say that.
Hey, party people. It looks like it must be Tuesday, the 12th of April. Lingus, how you doing, Lisa?
I'm so good it should be illegal.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
That's
what's
how good I am. I'm like that every day. I just never told you.
Yeah.
New boyfriend?
Nope.
Oh.
No boyfriend?
It's just me.
Did you jettison?
No.
All right.
Everything's the same.
All right.
Okay. You just seemed unusually happy.
I'm just really good is all.
There must have been some sort of change in your life.
No, I've always been really good.
I was up a little late playing poker. And, at some point you're starting to go, wow, it's getting really late. I should either just go home or maybe not even go to bed.
Just make it a night.
It's not worth it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I was in this big poker tournament and, you know, you get down to the final table, those 12 people, I know the top five pay. So I go, you know, I'm pretty close now. So I'm just going to stay and I'm going to play as, you know, best I can. And then 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th. Seventh.
Dude.
So now I'm down to seventh that I'm thinking to myself, this is awesome.
What time is it now?
I can make thousands of dollars. Probably 11.
Okay.
But, so I think, right. I don't care, because this is going to be awesome. I'm going to win. So seventh to sixth.
Whoa.
Right. Top five pay, bust out, go home. Sixth place.
Spent all that time getting from 12th to 6th. It didn't earn you a dime.
All that time, yeah, getting from at the beginning of the tournament, which was about 7 p.m., and then ending up one spot away and getting zero.
Dude.
One spot away.
That hurts.
So that, at least that wasn't worth it.
Well,
at least you're rested.
Yeah, no, I feel great.
You do sound drunk, if that helps.
Do I really?
Well, we can tell when you haven't had much sleep, yes. It definitely
give him
shows.
The breathalyzer!
Was there drinking involved in the poker game?
There was not, no.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, not by me, but
right,
by a few other people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Well, good times. Hey, speaking of good times, real quick, let me tell you about my new friends, Stefan and Erica Svanström. They are newlyweds in Sweden, long-term couple. They decided to save up and finally get married when the time was right, and they got a baby daughter together, and they decided to embark on a tour of the world. This was the trip of a lifetime. They were going to see it all. I mean, how many people have the luxury of being able to say, hey, I'm going around the world, and I'm going to take 4 months to do it?
Oh, man, that's like a dream.
Yeah.
A four-month honeymoon that they had planned. Here's some of the stuff they did. They got married last November, set out for Germany. Immediately got stranded at the airport in Munich when the snowstorm of the century arrived.
All
so
right.
They spent their first night, their first honeymoon night in the airport. Okay. So they survived Germany. Then they flew off to Bali and were hit with the monsoon. Left Bali, arrived Australia in time for brush fires in Perth. They
all right.
were also in Brisbane for the worst flooding in the country's history. Then they went on to Cairns, Australia, where parts of the town were devastated by a cyclone.
Now, at this point, you've got to already have had the conversation. This is not going well. Let's pull the ripcord and get out of this. Maybe we'll go another time.
After the cyclone, by the way, they ended up having to spend 24 hours sheltered in a shopping center, sleeping on the floor with 2,500 strangers.
Good.
They managed to get out of Australia eventually, landed in Christchurch, New Zealand. Yes, when they were encountered by a 6.3 magnitude earthquake that devastated Christchurch, if you recall. But a few days go by, the airport's finally reopened. They're able to leave, and then they end up in Tokyo. Well,
you're not telling the truth.
Wow. 2 days after they arrive in Tokyo, then you got your earthquake and your tsunami and the fears of a nuclear meltdown. They said that was the toughest because they couldn't get out of the country and the provisions were so scarce with so many things closed that they were worried about being able to find food for their baby.
Were they touring the power plant, the nuclear power plant at the time?
they might as well have been. Yeah. They finally got out of Tokyo. They finally made it back to Stockholm on March 29th, where they have shared their story with the Expressen newspaper in Stockholm. By the way, the husband in the couple, not both, but the husband was in Southeast Asia when the tsunami hit in 2004, too.
That's weird. It really is weird how certain people just happen to be, you know, in disaster areas or whatever. It doesn't happen to any other people ever in their lifetime. And yet this person, that happens to all the time.
He was at all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's him. If I lived in his country. Exactly. That's what I'm going to say. I would kick him out right now. I do not want him anywhere near my country.
And if you're married to him, see ya.
Oh, well.
Unbelievable. I relate to this man because, to my man Stefan, because as we've talked about before, you know, I lived in San Francisco for the Loma Prieta quake in October of 89 and lived, 2 miles from the epicenter of the Northridge quake in 94 and the 2002 7.0 Seattle earthquake.
Sweet.
I lived in all three of those.
Maybe two.
But I am nothing compared to this guy with a blizzard and a cyclone and a brush fire and a flood and an earthquake and a nuclear disaster.
Man, seriously, that sucks.
This guy's my hero.
Well, how is he your hero? He didn't die, first of all.
Maybe that's why. He didn't die.
No, but Bean likes that.
Well, I'm sure it's only a matter of time before he's on the death corner. But yeah. That's how they spent their honeymoon. They'll certainly have a story to tell for the rest of their life.
Hey, great vacation, honey.
I want to see their pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave you the thumbnail sketch, but the article goes into a great deal of detail about how them, seeing roofs washed away and bamboo trees flying at them and everything else. I mean, they were in the thick of it.
Sweet. Oh, my God.
Wow. God hates them.
I guess so.
That's what we could take away from that story. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah.
Thank you. We have Dave Grohl.
How about that?
Talking about the new album, which is finally here, Wasting Light. I know it's been online for a while. You can stream it or whatever, but today you can buy it.
Great.
Bean, do you know if there are any extras on it? If there are extra songs or whatever?
I haven't heard about that, although this is odd. At the Borders music chain, if you buy the physical copy, each CD apparently comes with an actual piece of the recording tape that they used to make the album, the master tape.
Huh.
How crazy is that? A piece of tape. Yeah, I know, right? That's a weird little souvenir because Dave has made such a big deal, as he told us, told us last week, too, that, they wanted to record it analog onto tape.
Right.
So apparently they cut up pieces of the tape and put them in the album. So that's kind of weird. But I haven't heard anything about extra songs or videos or anything.
What are you supposed to do with the tape, really?
I think it's just a souvenir.
Even if you had a machine that played tape, you couldn't play a little piece.
Nope.
Oh. Right. True. Right.
Bean's Death Corner on the program today. Gene Simmons is the man to finally bring Israel and the Middle East together. That's great news.
That's great news.
Yeah. Norm MacDonald, comedian in the studio.
He's so funny. And where's he been?
Well, if only he were here to ask.
Okay.
We're going to turn you on to the world's greatest Cub fan. Really the world's greatest sports fan. Really just the world's greatest person.
maybe your next wife.
Oh, she's so great. We also have tickets for you for Coachella, 3-day passes. Which is fantastic. And we have Kat Von D in the studio.
That's what talking about.
Come on now. That's a show right there.
Yes.
She's so awesome.
We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Tickets for all 3 days of Coachella this weekend. We've got them. You can win them coming up in the next half hour. We'll tell you how here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Also, the beautiful Kat Von D on the show today. And, some guy named Dave Grohl. I guess he's got a band he wants to talk about. I don't know.
And a new album and...
I guess we just got to give these kids a shot at the spotlight, so we'll see if you like them. Time, though, for the Showbiz Beat. In for Ralph Garman, it's us, Kevin and Bean. This is interesting, Kevin. I know you have mocked the television show Storage Wars before.
Yeah. Sounds like a horrible program.
Now, I haven't seen this one. Beer Mug, have you seen Storage Wars? Have you seen that one yet?
Yes.
Is this the one where people go and they bid on things that are left behind that people stop payment on in a storage locker or something?
Exactly. It's like a big storage auction.
Sounds awesome to me.
Good times. Hey, we're in a storage space. What's in there? I don't know.
Gold. Well, Los Angeles police went to one such place this week and found a Superman Action Comics number one inside, which has recently sold at auction, by the way. A similar copy in that good a condition is sold at auction for $1.5 million recently. They tracked it down, did some research, not sure how, but determined that it is the one that was stolen from Nicolas Cage's house 11 years ago.
Awesome.
Which, you know, I'm sure after the first couple of months, Nicolas Cage thought, well, that's gone forever. That's never coming back, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Of course, Nicolas Cage is the biggest Superman fan in the world. He named his kid Kal-El, remember? He was lobbying hard to play Superman at one point when Tim Burton was going to make that movie. Now, I don't know what happens to it now because he had it insured by the insurance company and already has received a payout for the value of the comic. So is it still his? What do they do with it now if he's already been paid for it?
That's a good question.
Can he get the comic book back if he gives the money back to the insurance company? I'm just fascinated with what happens next.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
so
either.
I mean, it seems like the guy that bought it gets it, but...
Even if it's stolen property, though?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, fascinating story, though. But, you know, whoever stole it from Nicolas Cage, I don't know if they sold it to this person and then this person put it in storage. And then the other thing I was thinking is, who has $1.5 million item in a storage locker and then doesn't pay the $90 a month to keep it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to let that run out. I'm not even going to go get it. I'm just going to let it run out.
Isn't that the... I don't know. I don't have a lot of items in my life that are worth $1.5 million. But isn't that the type of item you kind of keep close eye on?
Do you think that that person had no clue?
Boy, I don't know.
Because if they had any clue, they would pay for it. Or go get it or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, fascinating story to find that 11 years later. There's apparently less than 100 of them in the world. This Action Comics number one with Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else they find in that show? A lot of crap. That's like the only thing you'll ever hear in this entire series is that Superman.
But it's like the lottery, you know? It's like every ticket is worthless except for the one that gives you $65 million.
The lineup has been announced for the Outside Lands Music and Arts Festival.
No?
Yeah, I can't keep track of all these festivals. It seems like there's one every 2 weeks this year.
Yeah,
but this is an awesome one.
This is August 12th to 14th, San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. Headliners, Arcade Fire, which we're going to see this weekend at Coachella. Very excited about that. Muse is playing. Love them anywhere.
Yes.
Black Keys are playing. And then Fish. So.
how about that?
Then you have Fish.
First of all, Fish is awesome.
So
second of all, they're playing.
Smelly Crowd.
Second of all, they're playing two sets at the Outside Lands Festival. And
in a row?
No, I think they're going to do them at separate
different
times.
Days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should see them once in your life. They are unbelievable musicians, Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean, look, most bands can't get up and do what they do. They're very talented.
Right.
Smelly! How dare you?
You know, I was supposed to have gone and seen The Grateful Dead. Same reason. Oh, you have to see them once, blah, blah, blah. It's not really my type of music, but... So I told my wife, I'll meet you there. It was in Vegas. I'll meet you there, and then we'll see it. That'll be our... And then I ended up getting stuck at a bachelor party. And so then I couldn't...
How does that happen exactly?
Meaning you chose to stay at the bachelor party rather than leave to go to the concert with your dear wife.
Probably technically that's right.
Right.
But then she had to find a cab to get back, and it was not pretty. And that was early in our relationship. Isn't that a bad sign?
It's a huge sign.
Don't you go, wow, this guy's an a-hole.
Most people would. Yeah.
So,
but it was, she should have left.
The Grateful Dead, for God's sake.
I saw every one of those. Every summer they play Las Vegas out at the Silver Bowl Stadium. I saw every one of them. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's a story that you may be interested in because of the movie. You saw The Social Network, I'm sure. Well, the Winklevoss twins, Cameron and Tyler, played by that one actor in the movie. Remember, they claimed that Facebook, the idea, was stolen by Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
And they sued. Mm-hmm. And they had taken a $65 million settlement from Zuckerberg, but said that's peanuts compared to what it ended up being worth, which was, you know, $1 billion or something like that. So they sued and they lost, and then they appealed and they lost, and then they appealed again and they lost. And eventually it went all the way up to a U.S. appeals court who ruled again against them and saying, you know what? You got $65 million. You're going to have to just be good with that. Zuckerberg doesn't owe you any more money. That's it. That's your contribution. Sorry.
Yeah, it seems like that's a lot, right?
It does, unless, you know, the movie kind of walked that line between, you know, the movie didn't exactly make a heavy-handed statement about how the whole thing went down. It was kind of left up in the air a little bit about,
right,
about what was actually said and who did what to whom and when. So I don't know. If it was like it was in the movie, I think they should be happy with $65 million. But the way they tell it, you know, they got ripped off a lot more than that. And if the thing goes on to be worth $1 billion, I can see why that would sting a little bit.
I can too, but then on the other hand, you go, I have $65 million,
and I didn't have to do anything.
I mean, that's true. A crazy amount of money.
And one of the things the court said was, you went to Harvard, you're really smart, you should know. You're in business school, you should know.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
You know how that works.
You know how to negotiate and read deals and legalese. Yeah.
System of a Down wants you to choose what songs they're going to play on their summer tour. They're going to tour, and they're going to let you pick.
Huh.
So basically, you go to their website, systemofadown.com, and you offer up your 6 favorite tunes, and then one winner will be chosen for each show on the tour and get free tickets to see the show and a signed copy of the set list.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I hope they do this one. Audio from an actual System of a Down concert that we were at.
Yeah, it was a Christmas show, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course it was.
That was beautiful. And here's my suggestion.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Maybe you have to pick their songs. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be covering that one, but that would be awesome. Hugh Grant back in the news. I thought this was interesting. You know, he hates the paparazzi, as many celebrities do.
Sure.
And his car broke down, and he got a ride with a paparazzo. And the paparazzo, in the course of giving him a ride, and by the way, the celebrities always complain, but they're sure happy to take the ride from the paparazzo when they do have car trouble.
Need it, sure.
Right. So during the course of the ride, the paparazzo was telling Hugh about how the paper got phone conversations of celebrities and some of the tricks of the trade and how they know where people are and how they take their pictures. What the guy did not know, the photographer did not know, is that Hugh was recording him. And then sold an interview to the Statesman newspaper in the UK about the guy and all of his underhanded, dirty tactics that he and the other paparazzi used against celebrities.
Wow! So
he put the shoe on the other foot a little bit about that. Made the paparazzo feel like he was the celebrity for a minute.
Wow!
But that's hilarious that he would do that. And why is Hugh Grant walking around with recording equipment on him at all times?
In case an opportunity
like this presents itself.
That is weird. It must have been a project that they, you know, planned way ahead of time. I mean,
I don't know.
Unless he's always wearing a wire, which I'm guessing is not the case.
Well, I'm not buying drugs from Hugh Grant, I'll tell you that.
That's true. He's out as my drug dealer. It's Tuesday. That means you got the new releases, new CDs. I don't know. Foo Fighters. Wasted Light. How about that one? 9 Types of Light by TV on the Radio. You have Manai, you have Jesse J, you have Atmosphere, you have Thursday DVDs, you got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, and this is not in 3D, but Part 2 is going to be in 3D, I think. You can also get Gwyneth Paltrow and Tim McGraw in Country Song, or Strong, I'm sorry, Country Strong, because she's a singer now. Country Strong.
She can sing, by the way.
Yep. Don't care.
You saw her on Glee. You saw her on the Grammys. She actually can sing.
Yes. So can a lot of people, is what I'm saying. And Whitney Cummings, Money Shot starring Whitney Cummings, is a new DVD.
That sounds so
out.
Filthy.
It's a new DVD. It's her name. What are you talking about? And TV on DVD, Man vs. Wild Season 5 and Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List Season 4.
Okay.
Celebrity birthdays today. The great Ed O'Neill from Modern Family turned 65 years old today. Is anyone funnier on TV than Ed O'Neill?
He's great.
David Letterman turned 64 today. David Cassidy, the first celebrity ousted from this season of Celebrity Apprentice, turns 61 today. Our buddy Art Alexakis from Everclear has a birthday today. He is 49. Nick Hexum from 311 turns 41. Shannon Doherty is 40 today. Guy Berryman from Coldplay, 33. Actress Claire Danes turns 32. Jennifer Morrison from House, 32. And Brooklyn Decker, 24 years old today. How about that? Yeah, she's a good deal, and that is the Showbiz Beat. Tell you how you can win those tickets for Coachella this weekend, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. My wife last night, by the way, Kevin, told me that I need to pick a new baseball team because I'm too cranky when the Mariners are playing as poorly as they have been this season so far.
And by the way, for 10 years, haven't they?
Yes, they're a terrible team. Yeah. They're a terrible, terrible team. And she last night, literally, she said, you have to pick a new team. I can't stand another summer like this with you whining all the time about how badly they're playing.
Yeah.
And I bring that up to say it is baseball season. And I know, you know, some of us are already giving up nine days in. But then there are some.
You're already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, right?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
But then there are some people who just the enthusiasm and the joy of coming to the ballpark will never, ever go out of their life. And that's the Cubs fan that we're going to focus on here, who I believe, Kevin, you have fallen very deeply in love with.
I want to marry her so much. This is a woman. There's a dude out in front of Wrigley Field, and he's asking her about coming to the Cubs game. And apparently it's a big zoo, and a lot of times there's nothing to do with the game. Even there's just a lot of tailgating and people drinking, and they get out there early. And even people that aren't going to the game don't have tickets. They still show up. And
yeah, it's a party.
Right. She's been partying a little more than most. And the guy that's asking her questions just realizes he's got gold because she is me in Vegas. I mean, she's really smashed already from the very beginning.
And the game hasn't anywhere near come close to starting yet, and she's already wasted in the parking lot. And I love this guy, and you're so right, Kevin, because he knew. He's working for a public radio station. He knew he wasn't going to use any tape from this girl. He knew it was not going to make it onto the air, but he was having so much fun just seeing how long he could keep her talking.
She was so great. Here's a little bit of the beginning of it when he's right outside Wrigley Field.
Exciting, exciting day here. One of the things about Wrigleyville that's great is that it has nothing to do with the actual baseball game. People get here at 6 in the morning and line up for the bars that open up, and it's sort of more of a celebration. I'm here with someone who actually waited in line to get into Yahtzee this morning.
I didn't wait in line. I slept under I went last night. I slept under one of the tables overnight.
Overnight? I didn't get here early. I slept under table.
Lisa, do you love her so much already?
Oh, my God.
That's the beginning.
Right.
She slept under a table. What's happening? So he, of course, wants to know who she is.
Your name is Colleen Henneman.
Everyone calls me Henneman. H-E-N-N-E-M-A-N.
I'm sorry. Spell that again, would you? H-E-N-N-E-M-A-N.
Everyone calls me Henneman. H-E-N-N-E-M-A-N. Henneman. No, you're like a grandma calls me.
All right. Henneman, what brings you back to Wrigley Field, to Wrigleyville on opening day every year?
Easy. The wings.
All right, now this is a great list of things that brings her back every day, opening day, to Wrigley Field. The wings.
Okay.
Number one.
The beer deals.
Beer deals.
Right, who needs that?
Just like usually like hot guys.
Hot guys.
Okay.
They're like up for anything.
They're up for anything.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, this is not an attractive woman.
No, it's not.
We're going to put the video up very soon. Dave's working on it in the other room. But she's a beast. But apparently there are hot guys that are there, and they're down for anything.
Sure.
So
what is she doing in the parking lot?
So is she.
Exactly.
I mean, favors.
Yeah,
You'll find out. You'll find out.
You'll find out, yeah.
The hats.
The hats added to the list, yeah. The baseball hats. I'm here because hats.
Like the bus.
All right, now she says the bus, and then she realizes that could be funny. She didn't intend it to be funny, but.
Bus brings me here. Bus. It's like I'm fun. Because you're like, what brings you here? Bus. It's like a joke.
It's like a joke or something.
Well, what about the actual game? I mean, this is a big game.
Yeah, the game's great. The game's totally great. We're going to win it. It's going to happen.
You think the Cubs are going to do it this year?
Yeah, no. I don't know. Maybe.
Love it. Love it.
By the
she
way,
doesn't know anything about the Cubs.
No, she doesn't. Absolutely not. But the answer, if you are a Cubs fan or pretending to be one, the answer to do you think the Cubs are going to do it this year has to be no. Right? It has to be no. They haven't won a World Series in over 100 years.
I know,
no, they're not going to do it this year.
But this is before the first game.
Right, so I know. But
if there's ever a time you can delude yourself that they're going to do well, it's before the first game is played. But she doesn't even know. She's not basing that on statistics or who the team has or any trades. Sounds like she doesn't know anything about baseball.
Right.
Or the Cubs, especially.
Do you have tickets for the game?
No,
I don't have tickets.
Oh, so you're just...
No, I don't get tickets. I don't ever buy tickets. It's that thing I do where I show up and I, like, have fun at a party. What's up? And,
saying hi to somebody who's walking by.
Now, explain to me, why do you come the night before and sleep on a picnic table if you don't even have tickets to the game?
Homeless.
She's going to get them.
Okay, let's find out how.
Then at the last minute, I'm like, I don't have ticket. And then usually, like, some guy's like, I'll get an extra ticket. And then I'm like, well, whoa, are you married? And then, either he'll say, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no.
Now, why is she asking if he's married?
Because she thinks that there might be romance brewing if he gives her an extra ticket to the game?
Nope. I think she's going to earn it.
Because she doesn't have cash.
She's going to earn the ticket. That's why. So because of why else would you ask? I mean, even if you're going to buy it, you don't have to ask if he has a wife or a girlfriend.
Right, right.
So
although with her snaggletooth, I don't know. Oh, that doesn't seem like a line of work she'd be good at.
She,
That's
true. She's a beast.
And then I'm like, what kind of car do you drive?
Okay, so now it's an extensive screening process.
What kind of car do you drive?
And then if he says, if he tells me the truth, I don't know if it's the truth or not.
Right.
So then I'm like, where are your seats?
Right.
And then usually he'll be like, they're super good. And I'm like, what does that mean? And then we'll like get in there, and like 8 times out of 10, there'll be like a girl there. There'll be like his wife.
Oh.
Or like one time this guy had kids and his twins were there. And I said, who's this? It's like, they're my niece and nephew. And I'm like, why are they calling you dad? And he's like, that's our joke.
That's our joke. We just make jokes about that. Like, now, clearly she hasn't come out and said that she has sex with the guy. But all of that stuff.
Yes.
Married,
yes,
but lying about it. Kids, but lying about it. That's all a direct reflection on how she got the ticket.
Right.
And how she gets the, and who knows, is she there every game? Have you seen any other interviews with her being?
No.
Or is it just opening day?
I don't know. But why are they calling you dad is such an awesome question.
That's so great. It's a joke we play.
Yeah, they're my niece and nephew. No, I'm not married.
That guy's good. He's smooth.
But whatever, depending on what the girl looks like, I'll just fight her.
All right, well,
do you need me to talk longer?
No, I think you got the right one.
Wait, where's...
Do you need me to talk longer? By the way, the answer to that is always yes. I want you to talk all day.
Where is this going to be on?
Like, it's going to be on WBEZ, which is NPR.
WBEZ? They should defund that.
All right.
What is this, Russia?
Where
it's like everything's for free and you stand in line, everybody gets bread?
All right.
No. Get a job and then make people... It's like, what, I got to pay for HBO on birth control.
Now, so now she's upset at NPR because she has to help fund it?
Right.
So
right.
She wants her money back because she has to pay for HBO.
What is this, Russia?
She has to pay for HBO and birth control. But by the way, I applaud that.
I applaud the birth control part. She definitely needs it.
Yeah.
So why would public radio be free?
That's right. Well, Henneman, thank you. Good luck this season to the Cubs.
Yeah,
to you.
And, go Cubs!
Go Cubs. All right. Signing off. Dustin Coffin.
Are you single?
No. Yes, I've got an aunt. She's not my wife.
Is she here?
She's not here.
Are you single? Is she here?
She's hitting on the reporter, by the way.
Who she just insulted about the whole radio station.
Told her to get a job.
Like, are you going to the game? Let's start there.
Are you going to the game? I like. I can get some tickets.
I got some things I can do to you. What is this, Russia?
God. She's the best ever. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 22 minutes after 6.
Very exciting times around here with Coachella. About 100 miles away this weekend, Arcade Fire, Kings of Leon, Kanye West, The Strokes, Black Keys. Kevin, you'll be there for Mumford & Sons. You're not going to miss them and their banjos, right?
Oh, I love banjos. You know that.
Chemical Brothers, Interpol, Cage, The Elephant, the list goes on and on. Something like 200 bands. And we've got a couple things we need to accomplish here right now on The Kevin DeBean Show. First of all, some advice for you. And Kevin, you've got experience with this.
Yeah.
People don't realize, hey, I'm in the desert all day, right?
Yeah, exactly. That certainly makes sense that people should think that through, but they really don't know. Are we playing the PSA here? Is that what we're doing, Bean?
I believe that's what we had set up. Yeah.
All right. So,
hey, I'm in the desert all day, right?
Hey, I'm in the desert all day. So we put some PSAs out, and today you can see the video for this particular one. This is the need to hydrate. Very, very important thing to think about when you're going to be out there all day. Sometimes it can be 105 degrees. And then it's 90 below at
night.
So you really do need to take in extra water when you're there.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 8, Hydration. Remember, the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival is a metaphoric marathon, not a metaphoric sprint. And as in any metaphoric marathon, it's important to stay hydrated. Metaphorically. Drink lots of fluids before you arrive at the event. But don't worry, water will also be sold on site. And loan officers will be on hand to help you finance your water purchase. You may find it a more efficient fluid-to-fund ratio to drink beer. And after two beers, when you've run out of money, you can always drink your own urine.
Oh.
We repeat, your own urine, you freaks. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
Well, I think that's a good slogan.
Advice. Yeah. Sounds like that tape has been around a while. I don't know. Wow, I didn't realize Coachella had gone back that far. All right, so that's thing one. If you're lucky enough to be going, please remember to drink responsibly and drink to stay alive. Thing number two is you don't have tickets yet. It's completely sold out. It's crazy, by the way, how much the scalpers are asking for them. It's also crazy how many counterfeit ones are going around this year. We've gotten so many emails already from people who have bought them and then found out that they're not real. Please don't do that either. Instead,
hey, by the way, you can go to Coachella.com if you want to, and they have pictures of the fake ones.
Oh.
Yes.
So you know if you have a fake one.
Instead, why not win them every day this week on The Kevin and Bean Show? Yesterday, we had that ridiculous mega musical montage that somebody was able to crack to win tickets. Today, we're going to make it a little bit easier for you. When you say this is true, anyone can win today's contest.
Yeah, as long as you have time to listen. Yeah.
That's all we're asking. Okay. Right. So every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show today, we're going to give you a word that will end up forming a sentence. Then at the end of the show, we'll ask you to call in and give us the four-word sentence. If you're the first person to do that, you will win tickets to all 3 days of Coachella. Are we ready for the first word?
So it's the first hour. This is the first word.
The Coachella word of the hour is...
Kevin.
Kevin.
The Coachella word of the hour is... Kevin.
The Coachella word of the hour is...
Kevin.
Kevin, right. Okay, so that's the first word. Next hour, we'll give you word number two. The following hour, word number three. The final hour, word number four. Put them all together.
The Coachella word of the hour is...
Right. Got it. Still Kevin.
Still Kevin.
It's actually still Kevin.
That's the first word of the sentence.
Right, so we won't say this again. This is, if you're listening right now, you're the only people who will have the first word because we're not going to put it online. We're not going to say it again. So don't forget today's... This hour's word, okay?
Which is?
Oh, I can't remember.
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. It's Kevin, right.
That was the Coachella word of the hour.
Good luck.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Jorge writes in, I've already solved the four-word puzzle to win Coachella tickets today. Kevin and Bean suck. No, that's not what it is. That's not what we're working toward. Come on. Anyway, listen, next hour for word number two in the Coachella word puzzle, and then win your tickets to all 3 days at the end of the show. Hey, the beautiful Dave Grohl coming up on today's show, and the very talented Kat Von D, both on the way for the Kevin and Bean show.
You may have those flipped, but all right. Gene Simmons went back to Israel. I don't know if you saw this story. It's the first time in 51 years.
That's amazing to me, by the way. A guy that travels as much as he does, can't afford to, and has a job that takes him to places all over the world, you'd think that he would go out of his way to visit his homeland once in a while.
Apparently he was a 9-year-old when he was there, and his mom or dad was at Auschwitz camp survivor. So maybe it's not the best of memories, but 51 years is... It does seem like a guy like Gene Simmons, who does tour everywhere, has to actively avoid going there.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, Kiss being one of the live, you know, the biggest and best live touring acts for decades now. I'm surprised they never played Gene's homeland of Israel, but we wanted to find out more about that. And we've got the great Mr. Simmons on the phone with us right now. Hey, Gene, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Kevin?
Hey, good morning, Gene.
Hello, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bean, Lise May.
Good morning.
And to you, Beer Mug.
Yeah, mazel tov, Gene.
What did he say?
Tell us what he said.
He said you look very pretty today.
Huh. That's an odd thing to say. All right.
I was speaking, of course, to Lisa.
Of course.
Yeah, if you could, less Hebrew, more English for the rest of us, Gene, we appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not thinking straight. I just came from the brand new Kiss Buffet, and I am stuffed. Lisa May, speaking of being stuffed.
Okay, all right. Not so much of that. Listen, the reason we wanted to have you on is, first of all, congratulations. You're filming yet another season of Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, which, am I right about this, Gene, is the longest-running celebrity reality show in television history?
Of course. everything I do turns to gold. I'm a businessman at heart, and Family Jewels is no different. And right now, like you said, you can expect the upcoming season, but right now you can go to your local store or go to iTunes and pick up the box set. Lisa May, speaking of boxes.
Okay. So one of the episodes that we'll see in the next season, then, is you and your family, or at least your wife or your girlfriend Shannon and your son Nick, you guys actually visited Israel.
That's right. That's right. We went all over the motherland, and we felt it was our duty. You know, this was the first time I'd been there since I was a young man. I was actually born and raised in Israel before I moved to New York City. And it was very meaningful to me because not only do I appreciate playing in a place where I have my roots, but I felt like there was political ramifications because a lot more of American bands, I think, need to travel to Israel and play that area. It'll help ease some of the political turmoil there. You know, I was very close to playing there in 1983 and taking over the entire band. We were very, very close, but no cigar. Lisa May, speaking of cigars, that's got a cigar.
It's sort of odd for you to be telling other people they should be playing Israel when you haven't in 51 years.
Well, there's always, like I said, there's political reasons behind that. The bureaucracy is incredibly thick. And it prevents you from doing a lot of
things. Yes, Gene, is it thick?
It is. It's incredibly thick, viscous, creamy.
Now, you said that you went back to your roots, and it sounds like it's all about your roots and everything else, but it sounds to me like it's just another episode of the TV show. You're bringing cameras. It's part of the Family Jewel.
Don't do that. Don't get it misconstrued. My motives were incredibly pure.
Did you bring the cameras there for Family Jewels?
I did. I felt I felt like not only it would make compelling television, but also it was good to chronicle something. Like I said, that was important. There are definite benefits politically for American entertainers going over there and exposing just how dire this situation is. Let's not beat around the bush. Hamas has acquired missiles. And Lisa May, speaking of missiles, right here.
All right, Gene. Now, what about the rumor that you've been mouthing off about the fact that you hope to do a concert? A live show, and it's gonna, according to you, it's gonna bring Israel and the Middle East together.
That's right.
Now, if you had that power, why didn't you do that, I don't know, last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before?
Kevin, you're a very powerful and handsome man. You know better. You know that it's not as easy as it may sound. I've been friends with Benjamin Netanyahu for a long time.
Right, but
if you... President of the Palestinian state, Mahmoud Abbas, he's constantly trying to bolster his ego. He's constantly trying to save face. Lisa May, speaking of saving face, I'd like to save yours for me.
Right.
And things are not as easy as they may sound. We can't just have everything that we dream of, but I'm putting it together now, and I'm hoping to take many, many talented American acts over to the Gaza Strip, and it will have long-lasting and permanent political ramifications that are going to help the entire world.
Well, I hope that's true. I hope you're able to pull that off, Gene. That would be the feather in your cap.
Well, it was truly an honor to go back to the motherland and eat food that I relate to and talk to people I relate. You know, speaking of Yiddish food, Lisa May, I've got some soggy matzo right here.
Wow. That does not sound good.
That does not sound appealing at all, Gene.
It's not an attractive offer.
It doesn't really sound that good at all.
No.
Now that I think about it, soggy matzo doesn't sound appealing. But Lisa May, trust me, you'll love it. And, you know, Lisa May, it really is a sin when I was in that part of the world to see how women are treated. They're beaten upon, and they're made to feel like lower citizens, and they're forced to cover their face day in and day out because men don't believe they deserve to show their face. Lisa May, I'd like to cover your face.
Okay, all right, we gotta go, Gene.
We gotta go.
Thank you for checking in.
Do you understand what I'm talking
about?
Yes,
yes. Unfortunately, understand? We do.
Okay? Yeah.
Very clear. Very clear.
David Eric Grohl joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Head Foo Fighter talking about the new album available today for download and in stores called Wasting Light. Definitely want to stick around for that. Dave is going to take us through a bunch of the tracks on the album and tell us what they're about, how
so
they were
excited.
Written. I know. God, I love that dude.
It's a great CD, too. So pick it up today.
So great.
Or download it.
Might be a good place to start with today's celebrity
celebrity birthdays.
It seems like it was a quick report. It just flew on by. Today's the Showbiz Beat in for Ralph Garman. It's us, Kevin Amin. Besides Foo Fighters in store today, Jessie J, very popular singer who looks like Kat Von D. You saw her on Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. Her album is called Who You Are. Huge in Europe. Finally released over here. Also, the new one from the Meat Puppets comes out today. It's been a while since we heard from them. TV on the Radio has a brand new one called Nine Times of Light. And Mana is back with a new one after a long time, too. Drama Loose. Those are all available for you today on Tuesday from the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know if you saw this story on TMZ, But Lady Gaga fell on her head, and it's quite funny. I don't know if you have the same sense of humor as I do, but like anyone falling, I can watch forever. That woman getting hit in the face with a watermelon on The Amazing Race, I watched right. 1,000 times.
Was Lady Gaga at least wearing a giant lobster costume or something like that that would break her fall?
Unfortunately, it was like it's like a cell phone, you know, videotape from the crowd, so you can't really tell. She, of course, is wearing something absurd, but she's standing on a piano. If you go to TMZ.com and then you go down most of the page, she's standing on the piano. She's getting off of the piano. She's stepping from the top of the piano to the bench. And literally face plants right on the stage.
Ouch.
But then grabs the microphone and keeps right on singing.
Wow.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
But the falling part, awesome. You don't see that often enough.
She's a pro.
Yep.
I'm surprised it didn't happen more often with all the crazy things that people try to do on stage during a concert.
Yeah, jumping around and everything like that, yeah.
Here's some movie news. You guys remember Tropic Thunder. Hilarious movie. So many great characters. And for a time, it looked like that they were going to spin off Robert Downey Jr.'s character. Remember, he was the... What was he? Was he a black guy who was playing a white guy who was playing a black guy? Is that what he was?
He's a dude playing a dude that's playing another dude.
Right. Yeah. But that was the controversial character that he played, a white actor with blackface. And there is not going to be a spinoff from that. But MTV reports that the Tom Cruise character, Les Grossman... Remember, he was bald and he was obnoxious and he was swearing all the time. He did all those funny dances and rapping. They're talking about making a spinoff movie from him. Saturday Night Live's Bill Hader is involved, says the movie has already been written, and that they're trying to get it together right now to start filming. I guess Tom Cruise has signed off on it. Tom Cruise is willing to do it.
Wow.
I don't know if I want to see a whole movie of that guy, but it was a great cameo. It was fantastic. And Tom Cruise was very, very funny in that.
It was, but I agree with you. A little of that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Depending on the writing, who knows? Well, thank God there's another Beatles tribute album. This one is odd, though, because it's coming from Sir Paul McCartney. Apparently, he's putting his own tribute album together to himself.
Doesn't it seem like somebody else might do that?
You would think, right? That somebody else would say, hey, we should put together, you know, other famous artists singing. No, Paul said, I'd like to do it. Apparently, the UK's Sun newspaper says he's choosing the songs and the artists. And he's put a request to Billy Joel. To Kiss, to his son's favorite band, The Cure, to James McCartney, apparently is his son.
Oh,
brother.
Okay. Oh, son, okay.
Yeah, and apparently he's going to try and do, you know, a song with The Cure, but I don't know that I've ever heard of a band saying, hey, let's do a tribute to me. We should do that. We should totally do a tribute to me.
This is why you get somebody else to do it, so that Billy Joel doesn't end up on it.
He asked Billy Joel on purpose.
I know. This is why you don't let a 65-year-old pick the artist they're going to be on the tribute album.
I've never seen a band say, let's do a tribute album to me. Ever.
That is kind of weird. Bunch of a celebrity baby news today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott. How many kids do they need? They already have 3 kids. A 12-year-old from Dean's first marriage, and then 2 kids together, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. And they have just announced that they are pregnant again. Does she have a job, by the way? Do either of them have a job, or is their job just a reality television show?
Yeah, that's their job, I think
it is.
That's
yeah.
what they do. Yeah. And this is shocking. Rod Stewart is going to be a grandfather for the first time.
For the first time?
He's like 65 years old. He has 8 children, yet he is about to be a grandfather for the first time. His daughter Kimberly has announced that she is pregnant. The father, by the way, is the Wolfman, Lisa, actor Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of the statement is, but they are not a couple.
Sweet.
So apparently they met and that went well. And the Beckhams are back in the news because Victoria is pregnant with another child. And there are some reports, AbsoluteNow.com reports, that Victoria Beckham would like to name the kid Santa.
Yes.
Which I guess is a classic Spanish name. It doesn't have the same connotation in Spanish as it does in English. But David Beckham is not on board with the idea because, for obvious reasons, when people hear the name Santa, they're going to think of Santa Claus.
Yeah, you think?
And that's not really what you want.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a girl, too, by the way, which
what?
Is even weirder that they're going to have a little baby daughter. So I'd be surprised if I saw her end up being named Santa.
I'm not a big fan of the Dancing with the Stars. That's not my thing. It's not made for me. If they were to say, hey, make a show that's the opposite of Kevin, they would do that. So, but this does deserve to be talked about because Kirstie Alley is just a one-woman wrecking machine. last week she broke her dance partner. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Literally, well, he couldn't support her weight, right? Didn't his leg give out or
she
something?
She sat on his leg and it just like broke. It went backwards. Everybody was like, "Oh no!" Well, apparently last night or whenever the show was on, I don't watch it. She crushed her shoe. It came off and. And she stepped on it and just right into fine powder. She's just destroying everything and everybody. And yet still on, still getting pretty good marks.
Right?
Yeah. It is. She is playing Godzilla in the set of Tokyo. It's kind of sad, actually.
It's just crazy. She's just beating everything up. And I'm sure her dance partner's like, next. So somebody else come in. I need somebody else. I'm hurt.
Don't tell me that this is true, that Charlize Theron and Keanu Reeves are dating and about to go official.
No.
Star really? Magazine reports the couple have been dating for several months, and they are both relocating to shoot movies in England where they can be together. Come on. Really? I love Charlize so much. I don't love Keanu as much.
But
I don't want that to happen.
The nicest guy, That's according what everyone to says. Everyone. Yeah.
But he shouldn't get Charlize Theron, though, right?
No, under no circumstances is he interesting enough to have her.
Think how down on the down low he's always been. Who can you remember that he has ever publicly dated?
Right, but that's because he's the black hole of personality. You know what I mean?
Like, you just think that once in a while we'd hear something,
but
you never
do. He through the room and everybody just falls asleep.
So you're saying, Lisa, perhaps that he's a good choice for a celebrity because he keeps everything so private.
Yeah.
He's not going to be out there blabbing it up or anything like that. I mean, yeah, you're right. Everybody says he's a great guy. I don't get it.
He's not Charlize Theron great.
I don't think so. And one more, and I thought this was interesting. You know, Rihanna has created a great deal of controversy with her song S&M. Edits all over the world. Some people won't say the title of it because it's so shocking.
Oh, it's so terrible. I heard somebody announce it as Come On. That's the name of it because she says that in the chorus a lot.
Right, right.
And they also beeped out Whips and Chains. Beep and beep. Excite me.
It's like, is that unbelievable
with you people?
Well, that song is back in the news this time because Rihanna tweeted to her followers, "Hey, we're making a remix of S&M. Who would you like me to have on it as a guest star?" Which I think is kind of interesting, kind of collaborative. And who knows if this would have happened if the listener, you know, if her Twitter followers had not suggested it. But they said, "We want to see Britney on your single." And darn it if she didn't go out and get Britney. And Britney added some new lyrics to S&M. And now it is available as a remix of Rihanna and Britney together. And I took advantage of finding out about this last night. And I brought in a clip of it. If you want to hear Britney and Rihanna together again, the remix of S&M. That's Freddie's part. I mean, so different from the original. I mean, I think they really spruced it up.
Sometimes I think they go too far. Like, you can't even recognize the original song.
Yeah.
Change it so much. Take it easy.
Today's celebrity birthday is the great Ed O'Neill, who I thought would never come back to television after those 11 years on Married with Children. Let's face it, that would have been on his gravestone if he had died, right? Because he was the dad from Married with Children.
Sure.
And he got offered a million shows and turned them all down until he found one he liked. And he obviously has tremendous taste because he picked Modern Family, where he plays the dad and the grandpa on that show. He is 65 years old today. David Letterman turns 64 today. Singer, actor, Celebrity Apprentice reject David Cassidy is 61. From Everclear Art, Alexakis turns 49 years old today. Nick Hexum from 311 is 41. Actor Nicholas Brendan is 40. Shannon Doherty, also 40 today. Claire Danes is 32. Actress Jennifer Morrison from House is 32 years old today. Brooklyn Decker turns 24.
Come on.
When is she going to make more movies in bikinis like the Adam Sandler film she was in? And Saoirse Ronan, who we just had on the show last week, she stars in the number 2 movie in America right now called Hannah. She is 17 today. Dave Grohl is next, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
It sounds like these time and time again.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Tuesday, a very special Tuesday for Foo Fighters fans. Today is the day that Wasting Light comes out, available in stores and for download. Dave Grohl joins us back in the studio on the Kevin Bean Show.
I'm
hey, David,
back.
How you been, man?
Seems like forever.
Pretty good. I missed you guys. I've been sleeping in my car in the parking lot the last 5 days.
That's sad. I wondered who that was.
That's me.
We just thought it was another poor homeless guy.
That's me.
last time we talked to you was before the movie, before the big event last Tuesday night. How did it go?
It went really well. I think that the 3D performance was super fun.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we can do that instead of touring all the time. What do you think?
Oh, there you go.
Just stay in your studio.
Yeah, it's right down the street from my house. Just go there and play a gig and put it in a theater and whatever town.
It doesn't seem as good, but...
No, it wouldn't be as fun.
Well, you told us last week that Wasting Light you thought was the best album you've ever made. How come?
You know, I feel like at this point, this is our seventh album, and... Every time we make a record, it's kind of a response to the one that came before it. So, like, the last couple records, we've really experimented with different instrumentation and dynamic, and we went there with the piano, and we went there with the string section, and we went there with the mandolin, and all of those things I think were necessary to keep the band going, you know, just to experiment with things that we hadn't done before. But this time it felt like, okay... We're making the record with Butch Vig. Butch Vig is a genius producer, but he's really great at making huge rock records. So he trims all the fat. You'll play a song for him and he'll say, okay, you don't really need to do this, 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 and this. You just
really
need
specific.
This. Yeah.
Wow.
Why are you doing that? Don't do that. Just do this. And he helps you simplify it so that it becomes like a bigger, better version of the song. And, so basically, over the years, we've experimented in all these different directions, and it was kind of like stretching a rubber band, and you let it go, and it just snaps back. And I listen to the record, and it just sounds like the last 16 years to me. It has elements of almost every album, and Pat Smear's back with us and playing on the record, and... The songs are bigger, and the choruses are bigger. I actually, this time, as I was writing the songs, just when I thought I'd have a song finished and I thought the chorus was big enough, I'd try to write a bigger chorus, and I would use that chorus as a pre-chorus.
Ah, so you have to top
it. It's like a Bee Gees song, you know? Bee Gees songs, there's like five choruses. Just when you think you're at the chorus, you're not, because there's a bigger one. And then there's a bigger one.
I didn't see the Bee Gees coming today. I got to be honest with you.
Dude, I like the Bee Gees.
All right.
I do.
Okay.
And
who doesn't?
Yeah,
what right-thinking American doesn't like the Bee Gees? Come on.
But that to me was really... When I listen to it, I just feel like it's the version of the band that... people will recognize the most, you know, and it's kind of like the best representation of our identity. You know, some bands have an album like this in their career where they've made five or six records and then all of a sudden you get like Metallica's Black Album.
Right.
Or they've made like four or five records and you get all of a sudden you get Back in Black or something. And it's that one record you listen to that you hear that identity the most, you know? And to me, that's this record. It just sounds like...
Well, none of the choruses are bigger than on the opening track for Wasting Light, which is called Bridge Burning. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we want to hear some of it.
Bridge Burning was a riff that I came up with, I don't know, a couple years ago, and it's really just a simple kind of rock riff. But I wanted the album to open with a bang, you know? I always like having big openers on albums, and those are the songs that people go banana. It's always nice to have a killer opener on the album that you can then also open the show with.
Right.
Like All My Life. When that record came out, when One by One came out, and we started every show with dug-dug-dug-dug-dug, people would go totally bananas right out of the gate. And Bridge Burning is one of those songs where I just know the house lights are going to go out and it's going to start with that weird guitar sound. And when the drums kick in, it's just going to go bananas. And with that chorus, I just felt like, okay, we have to have a huge anthemic chorus right at the beginning of the record. And it's a really powerful song. I dig it.
Foo Fighters, that is called Bridge Burning. That is out, the CD is out today, by the way. You can get it today, finally, after all
this
time.
You get the whole song, not just the part you just heard. You can actually hear the whole thing.
There's 11 of them.
How about that?
11 songs?
Awesome. Now, it sounds like we were just talking about writing the bridge and writing for... It sounds like you write specifically so that when you get on stage, that song is going to work great. Some bands write whatever, and then they figure out how to do it on stage, but it sounds like you're writing for the stage.
Well... Kind of in a way, I think that when you come up with a riff or you have a song idea that starts to really it sort of it becomes something bigger than just a riff idea. You start to design it so that everyone can play along, you know? And to me, when we go out and we do big arena shows or festivals or stadiums or whatever, the audience is just as much a part of the show as the band. And when you're in a space that big with that many people and you play a song like Best of You or Everlong or whatever, and everyone starts singing along,
yeah,
that's an incredible moment. And it's those kind of moments that people take home with them. Not so much your lasers or your light show or the smoke or the, you know, it's like there was that one moment where everybody sang along to Bridge Burning, or that one moment where the first line, he goes, "These are my famous last words," and everyone sang it. It was like, that's how you get goosebumps.
Right.
And so when you start to realize that a song is going to be one of those songs on the record, you know, you want to make sure that it's available to everyone, that you like extend your hand to the listener, that they become a part of the song too. And that's always been important to me. I like a lot of bands that, that are a lot more sort of introverted or insular, and that don't really, that don't care about the listener.
Yeah.
I do. And it's just part of what we do as a band, you know?
It's nice to know that the goosebumps are, we know they're happening in the audience. It's neat to hear you say that it's happening for the performers on
dude,
stage.
I get
too.
It. I mean,
just as much a moment for you as it is for us.
When I'm on stage, I mean, I'm standing at the lip of the stage looking at that many people sing those songs. And it's incredible. Every time, it never gets old.
Every
ever.
Time a crowd sings, they try to speed it up, though. Is that difficult?
Actually,
it seems like they start going faster and faster.
There's some countries that have better time than others.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like the Italians and the Spanish, they've got pretty good time.
Okay. Who's bad?
Belgians? I don't know.
Not so
maybe,
good.
Maybe.
I'm sure you've seen, as I have, Bruce Springsteen begging his audience to not clap along.
Oh, really?
They always end up getting out of whack.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I can imagine. He
Wasting
is the boss,
Light
after all.
Yeah. Is the name of the new album. Dave Grohl is here with us on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to go through some more of it with Dave when we return right after. Welcome back to The Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Wasting Light, the new long-awaited album from Foo Fighters, in stores and available for download today. Dave Grohl is back in studio with us on The Kevin and Bean Show, because it's been a week since he stopped by, so frankly, we missed you. How long had it been, Dave, since an all-new record of all-new material from you?
God, I don't know. I guess that the last record came out in 2007, maybe?
Wow, so it's been a couple of years. All right.
Yeah, we intentionally stepped back from it and took a break. We started feeling like it was time. We hadn't really taken any time off for, it was about 5 or 6 years in a row. We went from the double album straight into the next record, Echoes, Silence, Patience, and Grace. Both of those albums we toured about 2 years apiece for. We did the acoustic stuff in the middle of all of that, and it was just like, but more than that, we started feeling like, you know, maybe we should give the listeners a break. All we do is make records and put songs on the radio, and people have been doing, they've been listening to us for so long. Maybe it's time that, we should wait till they actually want it.
Do you know what happens when you give us that break? We play Under the Bridge by the Red Hot Chili Peppers again.
Not that there's anything wrong with that song, by the way.
It's a great song.
But I'm just saying, from our standpoint, we don't need a break.
Well, you're welcome again.
All right, let's get back into the new record. We want to play some clips from some songs that people haven't heard yet. There's one with I assume it's a made-up word or it's an old girlfriend's name, Arlandria.
No.
What the hell is that about?
It's funny. We almost named the record Arlandria, but everyone was what the hell is Arlandria is the place in Virginia where I used to live. It's in between Arlington and Alexandria.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's this really small part of town. It's called Arlandria. And so, you know, having grown up in Virginia, I like to go back to Virginia because it just makes me feel like myself, you know? And like when Nirvana first became popular, whenever I felt like things were too crazy, I just go back to Virginia. And I'd go and hang out with people that I'd had slumber parties with in second grade.
And you still got a place back there too, right? You still got a home.
You know, actually got rid of it about 4 or 5 years ago. My mother still has her place there. So I go back and stay in the bedroom where I grew up. But I got rid of the house and live full-time here in Los Angeles now. But Arlandria, I mean, I wanted to name the song that because it's all about trying to retain that sort of sanity or that stability, because I feel like I'm a pretty down-to-earth person. But I can see how you could get swept up in the whole rock and roll thing and lose sight of the things that are really important. And Arlandria, that's meant to represent what's really important to me.
brand new Foo Fighters on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Grohl is joining us this morning and talking about the new CD, and it's available today as well.
There you go.
Wasting Light is what it's called. One of the clips that I saw, I haven't had a chance to see the documentary yet that that you screened last week, Back and Forth, but one of the clips that I thought was fascinating was showing you guys recording the song we're going to hear from next called These Days.
The way
it came together in the studio, all the different pieces that you tried out, much more collaborative than I think I imagined it would be.
I know. I'm starting to get the vibe that people think that I'm just like a musical Hitler or something like that.
That may be a little strong.
Really, really disappointing. No, I mean, you know, the way it works in this band is everyone's allowed to bring in whatever they have to the songs, you know?
And then you say no.
And then I just say no. That's not how I imagined it to be. No, I mean, basically, I'll come up with a really simple song structure or riff idea. It usually it starts with Taylor and I, where I'll have a melodic riff idea and then I'll go in and say, hey T, let's do a demo of this really quick, and we'll come up with the tempo and a rhythm, and then I'll work on it a little more, and then once it becomes something that we should take seriously, then everybody comes in. And you know, I don't tell Nate how to play the bass really, because he's a bass player and I'm not. And the way it works with Pat and Chris and I'm a rhythm guitarist, you know. I play the guitar like it's a drum set. I play the low strings like kicks and snares, and I play the high strings like cymbals. So I take care of that rhythm thing. Chris Shiflett is a really precise and clean melodic dude, you know. He's the best guitar player in the band. That guy can rip. He's a really good guitar. And then you've got Pat, who puts on a guitar and it just goes. And so if you put those three things together, you know, and the composition is there, it becomes a really cool. So you want to have, everybody needs their own space to do their own thing. But at the end of the day, it's like, if I feel like something isn't working with the foundation idea of the song, then I'll say, nah, let's try something else. So,
well, let's hear what you ended up coming up with. This is a clip from These Days, new Foo Fighters here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
New Foo Fighters on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Grohl is joining us today. Of course, the CD is available today as well. And we are going to talk about one more song with you. I Should Have Known is the name of it.
Yeah.
Tell us about that one.
I Should Have Known is a riff that's been around for a long time. A lot of these songs, some of these songs were written on sound checks for the last album when we were on tour. We had this sound check policy. Don't sound check songs you're going to do every night. Use that sound check time to write new material. So Rope was one of the songs that we wrote three or four years ago.
Wow.
I Should Have Known as another one. But really just the riffs and the music, the instrumentals. And so we were about halfway done with pre-production, and I was sitting in my bedroom with a guitar getting ready to go down to the studio, and I came up with that line that I should have known, you know? And it's little things like that that turn into great songs, because something like These Days or I Should Have Known or Back and Forth, you know, they become these like catchphrases that everyone can sort of relate to. And I Should Have Known is definitely one. Everyone has felt regret in their life, and it's that risk of regret that makes life worth living, you know? So I started writing this I Should Have Known idea, and I brought it into the studio, and we were working on something else that day that wasn't really working out. And I said, well, I have this other thing I just came up with. I don't know if it's any good. And I played it, and Butch and the guys said, Dave, that's really great, man. Let's do it. And we went in, and the first time we played it, everyone got goosebumps.
Wow.
The second time we played it, it sucked so bad.
We had a lot of hope for that.
So, I thought that story was going in a different direction.
No, I did too.
I was really pissed. Because it's like someone took my beautiful song and wiped their butt with it. And, you know,
you don't want that.
So we stayed away from it for a while and then eventually did it for the record. And I had Chris Novoselic come down, the bass player of Nirvana. Mm-hmm. He came down and played on it. And It turned out great, you know.
It did turn out great. It's maybe my favorite on the record so far. But when you hear this clip we're about to play here, I should have known. You're not going to believe that he sang this sitting down in a chair. It just it sounds like you must be jumping up and down.
I feel weird standing up and singing without a guitar in my hand. And I would equally weird if I was standing up singing with a guitar in my hand, but not playing the guitar.
Can you just fake it, though? You just fake it.
That would be even weirder.
All right. Okay.
All right. So check this out. A once great song that then sucked, and now I think it's come back around, and now it's pretty good. Here's new Foo Fighters again on the Kevin DeBee Show.
I Should Have Known is the name of that. Brand new Foo Fighters on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Grohl has been our guest and nice enough to spend some time.
I love it here.
Tuesdays in a row, man. When are you coming? You coming back next week, too, Al?
What do you got going on?
We don't know.
Rebecca Black?
Oh, we could only wish.
What's going on with that?
That's the duet.
Totally down.
Obviously, Wasting Light is the topic today. Buy it, steal it. Well, I don't care. Just get it. It's so good. But, Dave, we forgot to ask you both times you've been in so far this week. What's the plan? Another tour? What are you going to do with Foo Fighters this summer?
Well, I think we're going to do what we always do and just play a bunch of shows.
Fantastic.
Lately, we've been doing, you know, we've been doing a lot of club gigs. We did a bunch of club gigs in L.A. I guess it was in January, February.
Oh, yeah. You tweeted them, and then 2 hours later, you were on stage.
We toured Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't play anywhere that held more than 500 people, I don't think. And we've been playing these three-hour-long shows. And we were just down in Australia, and we'd played for 2.5 hours. And we come back on for the encore, and I go, okay, what do you guys want to hear? And this kid in the front row says, 10 more songs! So we played until the cops stopped us. We got 9 of them.
Oh, that's good. That's close. Yeah.
So I love that it's still your passion, that you still seem to enjoy it as much as you always have.
Look, dude, imagine you were a famous porn star. You really think you'd ever get sick of having sex with chicks with fake boobs?
Well, that's a good analogy.
There you go.
That's a good point.
That's exactly what it's like being in the Foo Fighters.
I'd be doing that till I was dead.
Having sex with chicks with fake boobs every night in front of 30,000 people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Grohl, our guest once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get the Wasting Light. It's available everywhere today. Dave, thanks for your time as always, man.
See you around.
What?
I miss Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to forget Dave Grohl ever existed when Kat Von D gets here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, we could have scheduled that better. If she came in right now.
Yeah,
we don't care about Dave Grohl at all.
That's right. We don't care about that guy, right?
Right.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. By the way, if you're a huge Foo Fighters fan like we are, don't forget you can see them streaming live on KevinandBean.com and KROQ.com starting at 6 o'clock tonight, West Coast time. They're going to be doing a show, a 90-minute show from David Letterman's studio. They're a guest on Letterman tonight, along with Ricky Gervais, by the way. How's that for a lineup?
Wow.
And then they're going to do a full 90-minute concert featuring a bunch of songs from the new album and some Foo Fighters classics, too. So you can stream that online starting tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, Kat Von D coming up. Also, funny man Norm MacDonald and an all-new Beans Death Corner. First, though, Kevin, bring us up to speed with what we're doing with the Coachella ticket giveaway today.
Well, we're giving away Coachella tickets, the 3-day passes, and, of course, it's sold out. So the people who really pay attention are the people that we would like to give the tickets away to. So we're given a word an hour, one word per hour. We gave you a word last hour. We're not going to repeat it now. Those of you that heard it last hour have an advantage.
Okay.
But we're going to give you this hour's word, and then it's all going to make a sentence, and near the end of the show, we're going to tell you when to call in, and then you can give us a sentence, and then you'll win.
So basically, so much easier than the musical montage from yesterday, where you had to have superhuman, freaky skills to be able to win.
Yeah, that person scared me. I don't ever want to do that again. That scared me. So it's time for the
Coachella word of the hour is
the Coachella word of the hour is
the Coachella word of the hour is will.
The Coachella word of the hour is
will. Just will. Said that. Just said will.
Will is the Coachella. So what you're telling me then is last hour there was a word, this hour there's a word, there's going to be another word next hour, and then in the last hour of the show there's the fourth and final word. You put them together, you make a sentence, you win tickets.
I believe it has been explained sufficiently.
The Coachella word of the hour is
will.
Lisa, what's the word? I can't remember. Do you
word know? Is will.
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 Okay.
The Coachella Worthy Hour is...
It's Will. God damn it, stop playing that. All right, we're done.
So you're saying Will.
Will is the word, right. Right. Showbiz Beat is next. Then the beautiful Kat Von D joins us right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That was the Coachella Worthy Hour.
All right, so we're doing a different word every hour. We'll make a sentence at the end. You'll win tickets for Coachella. It's not a guessing game. And quit sending me notes that say Kevin will get drunk, okay? I've got like 40 of those already. The goal isn't to guess. The goal is to listen to all four words, put them together, make a sentence, then win the tickets.
But what if people guess it right
before we
give out the last word?
First of all, they won't win anyway. They still have to be the right caller when we invite people to call. It's not an email contest.
Gotcha. So.
Kat Von D coming up first, though. Lisa May is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show, in for Ralph Garman.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, Lisa, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened there.
I don't have a single Broadway story. And besides, I have passes to give away.
All right.
Three pairs of passes for the K-Rock Advance screening of Fast Five at the AMC Burbank this Friday, April 15th. That's with Dwayne Johnson, Vin Diesel, and Paul Walker back together again. It's actually in theaters Friday, April 29th, but we have three pairs of passes for the first three callers to come in, 1-800-520-1067. All right, here's your Charlie Sheen update. We have not heard much about Charlie recently, but he had a bunch of shows over the weekend. And I just want to read you a little bit of the review of his Radio City Music Hall show on Friday. This is from the New York Post. Calling him a chain-smoking criminal who lobbed obscenities like a four-year-old suffering from Tourette's. The reporter described his stories about Hollywood hookers and being rich as pointless and boring. Charlie Sheen stank up Radio City Music Hall like a flatulent goddess.
Wow.
Okay.
Dude.
So the crowd turned on him after about 20 minutes.
This
and
is great.
Booed
I thought.
And booed, right?
All I knew was night number one, horrible.
Right.
Night number two turned it around. Now they're booing him again?
Okay. That was Friday.
Okay.
Then Saturday, standing O, Saturday night, Oakdale Theater in Connecticut.
Okay.
Loved him. Same show, pretty much, but loved him. Then Sunday, back to Radio City Music Hall, standing ovations.
Come on now.
And James Lipton, of all people, was in the audience.
Is that super boring guy?
Inside the Actors Studio guy.
I hate that guy so much.
And went up on stage to ask him what his favorite curse word was.
Oh, I hate that guy so much.
I know. What a giant ass.
Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you.
What I love is the longer this tour continues, the more Charlie Sheen says things like, I apologize to Chuck Lorre. I'd like to have my job back.
Is he saying that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Really?
He wants to go back to Two and a Half Men. He wants to bury the hatchet. And I think the longer they let him twist in the wind, the more I'm going to enjoy it. Because I don't care whether that show comes back or not. So I'd rather see them stick it to Charlie by not ever answering his calls again.
Absolutely.
That would be great.
All right. This is for Bean. Because he's the only one among us who has seen High School Musical. But I know how much you love Ashley Tisdale. She's 26 now, by the way.
Yeah.
And she's appearing nude in Allure. Mostly nude. I've seen the photo, so you know that kind of. You know the kind of naked. You can kind of see the side.
Is Allure one of those chick magazines?
It's a woman's magazine, and they're not really nude. They're not a good kind of nude.
But you get side boob, and I know how you are, Bean.
Side boob
just
is good.
Side boob will be enough for you.
It's better than no boob.
Right.
I'm not a fan of Ashley Tisdale either, by the way.
You're not?
I'm not. I never have been. I don't like her old face or her new face.
What?
But, she was Sharpay in High School Musical. Not for me. But thank you for the update.
Fake right and fake left. Watch your mother pick and keep an eye on the fence. Gotta run the give and go. Take the ball to the hole. And don't be afraid to shoot the outside, Jay.
The only one I want to see naked from High School Musical is My Sweet Zach. You know that.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well,
man.
I'll look for that.
Wow.
So the hottest ugly man in the world, Benicio Del Toro, is going to be a baby daddy. The wolf man. And my favorite part of the story, Bean mentioned this last time, the baby mama is Kimberly Stewart, who is Rod Stewart's 31-year-old daughter.
Right.
Well, Rod Stewart has a 5-year-old son by his latest wife.
Good.
And a new baby that I think was just born in the last couple of months.
Oh, no.
That's right.
So
guaranteeing he's going to be dead by the time they're in high school.
I just love that. I just love that their uncle is going to be like 2 months older than this baby.
Did you hear that rumor about dad's stomach?
That's going to happen.
But Benicio Del Toro said that he's very supportive, but they're not a couple.
Wow.
So that's how that's going.
Very supportive, but not a couple.
Not a couple.
All right.
I have the statement from Benicio Del Toro if you guys want to hear it.
Sure.
I am extremely hairy. I shave my body every which direction possible.
Yeah.
I have a quote from him as well about the pregnancy.
It's not my fault.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart, don't really care about them, but they're on again, off again, on again, off again. Then they were off again, but then he threw her a big birthday party. And the only reason I bring this up is because of a quote by Robert Pattinson describing Kristen Stewart.
Boring as hell.
He said that he loves actresses from the golden age of Hollywood. He thinks his lady love has a little Katharine Hepburn inside.
Oh, stop.
Listen to this. Despite her shy appearance, he says she's classy, rough, and so funny.
No, no, and no.
Who the hell is he talking about?
I guess
about?
I could see classy, but rough, no.
Funny, no.
Tough, no.
So funny.
Funny, no. Did you guys see the recap of the Twilight movies on Family Guy?
No.
I have that for you.
I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she? Nope. The end.
The only way that she is like Katharine Hepburn is that Katharine Hepburn is dead and Kristen Stewart shares her personality.
All right, birthdays today. Actor Ed O'Neill from Modern Family, 65. David Letterman turns 64. Claire Danes is 32. Jennifer Morrison from House is 32. And by the way, Olivia Wilde, 13, was back on House last night.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I can't wait to get up to that episode. I missed her so much.
Model slash actress Brooklyn Decker is 24.
Yeah.
I'm Lisa May. That's the show.
Kat Von D, is that short for something?
For Katherine von Drachenberg.
Is your goal to cover yourself entirely?
No, I'm going to stay away from my chest.
Why would you stay away from your chest?
Oh, I like my boobs the way they are. I started tattooing at the age of 14, and I got my first tattoo when I was 14. I've turned down a lot of people. Anything that goes against, like, my morals, you know, I don't do anything, like, racist, or anything that I think is going to be regrettable. You know, if you've been dating a boy for 2 weeks, I probably won't do his name on your neck. I've been drawing all my life, and one of the kids was, you know, tattooing all this with his homemade machine. He's just like, you should tattoo me, and I'm like, okay. And I did it, and I loved it, and I've been doing it since.
Our next guest is tattoo artist of both the rich and famous and the poor and unknown. You can see her brandish her needle expertly on TLC's LA Ink. Please welcome the Human Art Gallery, Kat Von D.
If you want to feel good about yourself, play Words with Friends against Kat Von D, and you will win. Hi, Kat. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I feel very welcome now.
We were just talking during Bob Marley about how you play Words with Friends with everyone, and it doesn't sound like you ever win.
Well, no, that's an exaggeration.
Yes, but not by much.
did the King of Mexico stop playing with you because you're too easy to beat?
You know what? I was wondering why he didn't rematch me. Because I was playing him like for, I don't know, a month straight.
Yeah, not challenging enough, apparently.
Up. Yeah, well, you know what? I demand a rematch. I bet you I could do better now.
I'd like to see a throwdown. That'd be good.
Well, it's always a thrill to have you in, Kat. And once again, you are stepping up for charity. You're doing something special down in High Voltage.
Yeah.
Hope for Japan. What's going on? Tell us about it.
Well, you know, one of my guys, Koi, he came up with a really good idea to do a day where we just do tattoos all, like, you know, where we give 100% of the proceeds to a charity that is helping children in Japan, obviously with the recent tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was really cool. I wanted to do something, and I figured, you know, I could tattoo, you know.
Yeah. Let me look at my skill set, not Words with Friends.
Okay. Scrabble. Yeah, exactly. So we've just kind of been inviting everybody to come down and do this whole thing with us. So
now, when is this happening? Today or
on Thursday?
Thursday. Okay.
Yeah. So Thursday, just pretty much it'll be like a regular day. You know, we're open noon to 10 and everybody can come in, and it's only $200 for a tattoo, and we give all the money to the charity.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's
yeah.
sweet.
So are
you going to have the full complement of artists all working at the same time so you can do as many as possible
in
the 10 hours?
Yeah, but it's not going to be like when we did the Guinness World Records where it was like, you know, we had a goal of an amount of tattoos. This is just going to be a fun day, and there's no rushing anything, or, you know, it's just going to be cool.
You're going to take your time so that you raise less money for charity. That's what you're saying to us.
No.
You're going to spend an hour per tattoo and give them a check for $50 at the end of the day, right?
Tell us about the designs. How did you come up with that
well,
idea?
Well, we just had, you know, I have like 20 guys working with me. So 12 of them are tattooers. And so we all drew a design that was inspired by Japan. We made sure that they were all unisex so, you know, guys and girls can get them. And yeah, so.
And how big are they? Is there a sign?
I know, I'm like the worst commercial, huh?
Well, we're trying to lead you along.
We still don't know anything.
Yeah, no, they're
trying to help.
Like, 3x3, you know.
Okay.
It's not you know, a sleeve for 200 or anything like that. But I think in the end, it's not really, you know, obviously you get, like, the nice tattoo to take home forever. And it's, you know, when people ask you about it, it's like, what's that? And you're like, you know,
I
helped somebody. And so that's the whole purpose of it.
Are any of the tattoo choices from the various artists and yourself, Kat, are they Japanese letters?
There's one. And we kind of have, you know, since the whole theme is like hope for Japan, we just thought using elements like that would work really well. So there's one that's has the kanji for strength.
It's so funny, and I'm sure you've seen a million of these, but all the time you see pictures on the internet of the misspelled ones. People get something that looks awesome, and they tell people what it is, and then people who speak that language go, you said something about dog butts here. I don't know what you thought you were saying, but I'm sure you've seen those kinds of disasters, because it's very tough for people who don't speak those languages to know how to make all those little squeaky lines.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I think, too, it's like I always try to get them to get handwritten reference from somebody of the native language, because I can't read it, so, you know, I'm just going to trace it.
Why do you think it's such a big favorite of people to get something in a foreign language? That seems odd.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, it's like the grass is greener on the other side, because they do the same thing, you know, overseas.
They do American ones over there?
Yeah. Like, I've seen, you know, a word, which one was it? It was destiny, and then they accidentally, like, overdid the little line on the D, and it looked like Restiny.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Sweet. Hey, I speak American. I don't think that's a word.
It's cool, though.
I believe our language is still called English also, by the way, Kat. Kat, I noticed that your cameras are with you here today. The beautiful Kat Von D in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show again. The cameras are following you for the little TV show. Yes. I'm always surprised when you sign up for another season of the TV show, LA.
I always say it's my last one.
You always say it's your last one, and I'm not saying that you hate it, because obviously you enjoy certain aspects of it. It's a love hate, but it seems like you're so happy when a season ends because you don't have to have those goddamn cameras following you everywhere. Yet you sign up for another one. What's up?
Well, I mean, I think I have like a platform to do something good, and I think that's what I aim at every season. You know, obviously, you know, I've butted heads with the network and production in the past about what I thought.
And everyone who's ever worked for you?
No, that's not true. That's not true. Actually, no. Actually, you know, like I have all my guys that work with me. I've had them since day one. Like no one's come and gone, really.
Wow. Is it just you get burned at the end of the season, basically?
No. I guess so. You know, sometimes. Well, you know what? To be honest with you, like I'm in such a better headspace. I feel like I'm constantly growing. So I don't know. It doesn't really seem to bother me this much.
Is the TV show on around the world?
Yeah. It's international.
So you get people probably putting you on the on their list of things to do when they come to LA. They want to come and meet you and get a tattoo.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it's always interesting too when we're filming, because you know, like we'll have to, you know, the tourists, like the bus, they come by the shop and they'll stop and.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh yeah, except I can't have like a bad day, because it's like, and to your right is Kat Von D, and it's like, oh, I'm crying. You know, but
that's gotta be strange to be on that tour.
Yeah, totally. But you know, they come in, and I think when we're filming, it's exciting for them, because they're like, they kind of see, you know, the magic of Hollywood and all that stuff.
Sure.
So it's cool. And we're only filming like, I think, 8 episodes right now. So it's a nice light, you know. I have a really good feeling about this season.
Are you going to be filming on Thursday for Hope for Japan?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, this is, like I said, it's just a platform to do something positive, and I'm going to sound like a hippie because I am, but, you know, it's a good opportunity. I think I'd be a fool to not do it.
So, High Voltage Tattoo is at 1259 North La Brea Avenue in West Hollywood. From noon until 10, Kat and her staff will be tattooing you for $200. There's a selection on the website. You can go to the High Voltage website and see what you can choose from. And people are probably going to line up. At some point, you're going to cut off the lines.
You know,
get them all
I'm
done.
I'm actually scared no one's going to show up.
Oh, I don't think you have to worry about that.
No, never that way.
Every but time. No, you know what? Like before, I've had so much time to plan this stuff, and this was something that literally came up like last week. So we're like, well, we should do it now, you know? So regardless, we don't care. We're just doing it. Just
okay.
But it is first come, first serve.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
People
yeah, no
will camp is. Out.
Yeah.
Before you open.
That would be fun, though. I've never done that. I want to do that.
HighVoltageTattoo.com if you want to check out and get some more details. More with our guest, the beautiful Kat Von D is here, and we'll return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Give you another shot at winning those tickets all 3 days of Coachella, part 3 of the 4-part quiz on today's Kevin and Bean Show coming up next. Also, Bean's Death Corner and funny man Norm MacDonald joins us. Hey, Kat Von D, you going to Coachella this weekend?
No, I can't make it. But just to let you know.
Seems like your kind of thing.
Well, you know, there's so many good bands on it this year, too. I mean, there always is, but, you know, I'd love to see Kings of Leon.
What are you doing that's better?
I'm actually going to another charity event for the LA Gay and Lesbian Center.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a good excuse.
Okay. Kat Von D is here. Another reminder, if you missed our last segment, Hope for Japan fundraiser is happening at her shop, the High Voltage Tattoo Place, which is on La Brea Avenue in West Hollywood, from noon until 10 o'clock. You can go to High Voltage Tattoo and see the tattoos that you can choose from. Only $200 from Kat and her tattoo artists, and the charities all go to Japan. So you said you're, when you came in a few minutes ago, you said you were in a fantastic space and you're growing every day. You yes. seem so happy right now.
Yeah,
what's going
yeah.
on with you?
Things
what's
are
what's
good.
The deal?
I don't know. I just things are really, really good right now, I guess.
Are the paparazzi staying off you for a while?
No.
Have they quieted down a little bit with you and Jesse?
I wish. I think so. I think so. It was so funny. We were laughing. I was telling my friend Ariana how, like, there was, like, this blonde lady that's, like, a total rookie paparazzi that she hangs out in our back parking lot. And she, like, you know, she's just, like, holding the camera kind of, like, shaky. Totally not, like, you know, most of the time those guys are real cocky and
right.
kind of, like, say stupid stuff to you. And she's, like, she stutters a lot. She's like, when are you getting married? Like, it was so funny because my friend Ariana goes, today, Junior. We're just laughing because I'm like, oh man, she's just a little bit. What is it?
It wasn't very stealth, is what you're saying.
No, I've seen her a couple times, and we're like, oh yeah, there's that rookie chick. I'm like, come on, you're a chick. You're supposed to do things better.
You can now, you're trying to help her out.
Yeah.
I worried about you a little bit because you tweeted the other day about, I guess you were filming for LA Inc.
Yeah.
for the new season, and you said you got emotional.
Oh, last night
while you were filming, and you said it feels good to speak freely without being judged. What
yeah,
does that
for
mean?
Now, until it airs, obviously.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
Yeah, well, you know, it was crazy because, you know, I mean, this season's definitely going to focus more on tattooing, which is great, but I got this tattoo that has to do with love, and so I was
talking.
Yes, and I was like, you know me, I'm a hopeless romantic, but well, now I'm hopeful, but it was nice to just, in my last interview, just talk about you know, Jesse and my relationship in general, and just not feel like, I guess, scared or something. Cause, you know, I think there's been, you know, a lot of people saying mean things and stuff. But yeah. You know me, I don't watch TV or anything, so I don't hear it sometimes. But sometimes it trickles down.
But there's also some distance between, you know, all of the scandal and everything. So.
I guess so. You know, I just think I'm in a place where it's like I'm far away from all that. Like, I kind of feel unstoppable.
Is it weird for you, though, because when are these shows going to air?
They're going to air in, I think, June.
And not specifically talking about your relationship, but your headspace might be someplace completely different, or you're doing
And that's happened to you before. That happened to you with the Nikki book, too, where it's, you know, it's weird.
I think it's not weird. I just think, like, I'm all about, like, living in the present moment versus, like, worrying about tomorrow or being traumatized by yesterday. So I feel like this is how I feel right now, you know, and I have no regrets. Like, you know, when I was on here talking about Nikki last time, like, I still feel really good feelings towards him, you know, and I meant it back then. You know, it's not like a thing where I'm like, oh yeah, you know, but I don't know. I guess I just don't know any other way other than to be myself, you know.
Right, but I'm just saying it's got to be strange that people then come up and ask you about something that you filmed 6 months ago or whatever.
It's true because even on the Twitter, I could totally tell when like stuff is airing in overseas, you know, because it's like they're a little bit behind us. So it's like, how's your eye doing? Because there's like an episode where my eye was like bit by a spider. I was like, oh, that was like last year. But I'm totally fine, you know.
I lost it. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, totally.
So when are you getting
married?
Married, Kat.
Well, I was kind of just going to let, like, you know, the press run with it because I think they were saying we got married already and all of a sudden.
Oh, congratulations,
stuff.
Then. No,
we didn't.
That's great news.
Yes. I was like, ah, whatever, you keep them talking. And then that way, when we do get married, they'll leave us alone. But we decided we're going to get married on, like, our 1 year anniversary. So it's coming up in
awesome then.
Couple months.
is Jesse, who, by the way, I'm a little ticked at because we've had him on the show many times over the years.
Oh, he told me to say hi today.
Yeah, but where's he been? We'd love to have him back on. And now he's got the book is coming out in next month, right?
Yeah. I think he's coming out this weekend too, so maybe I'll tell him to stop by if you guys want.
Yeah, we absolutely would love to catch up with him. Please give us a little Kevin and Bean Pillow Talk love and get Jesse in here, okay?
I'll just make him do it.
Say Pillow Talk Love.
Yes. Have you read the book, Kat? Because everybody's waiting for it.
You know what? I read the first few chapters and stuff, and you know, he's like a really good writer actually, and It's really an exciting story because he has a pretty crazy life that I think people are going to be surprised to hear about. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has the misconception that it's like a tell-all or something, and it really isn't. It's just it really is a straightforward autobiography, and you know, the dude's lived a really gnarly life.
Oh, I know he has. I mean, we've had him on a bunch of times, and he's got great stories and tells them well. I think the book is going to be outstanding. I'm really looking forward to it.
He's sort of like you are in that you have a hard time keeping information in. He's just honest
I think actually this is probably going to be like his first time since all the BS happened that like he's, you know, talking and stuff.
Right. Because
he's
pretty
introverted now, I think. Yeah. But as far as like, you know, when he talks, it's always like telling it how it is, you know. And that's a little bit hard to hold back on some of that stuff. But yeah. I don't know. I think it'll be good.
Do you get out to Texas a lot? And if so, how do you like it compared to L.A.?
Well, you know, I think L.A. is, you know, my home and stuff. Well, no, home is where the heart is. And, you know, wherever Jesse is home. But, you know, Austin's cool, man. I like it. It's neat. You know, I don't think, you know, I could ever leave L.A. Obviously, I have my friends and family here and stuff.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that I can't go back and forth. So
sure. Yeah. Well, it's always so great to catch up with you.
Yes. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolute favorite people in the world. And Hope for Japan sounds like it's going to be an awesome thing. You're going to raise a lot of money with all those people.
I hope so, man. I hope
10
so.
Hours of, you know, how many people are going to be tattooing all day long?
12. Yeah.
12 people.
Yep. 12 people at $200 a pop. I mean, that's going to be a nice chunk of cheese.
Hopefully people show and it'll be good support for the community.
I'm telling you that people will be there, Kat. You don't have to worry about that. It's going to be this Thursday from noon till 10 at High Voltage Tattoo. Your chance to get an outstanding tattoo for an outstanding cause at a great price. And again, High Voltage Tattoo. And we'll put all these details up at kevinandbean.com and krock.com later on today. Kat, thanks for coming in. Great to see you, my dear.
Hi. And I'm
my dear. Banjos, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 20 minutes till 9.
I miss Kat Von D now. I want her to come back. Hey, it's not only the hottest ticket in town, it's the hottest ticket in the world. I'm talking about the sold-out three-day Coachella Music Festival happening this weekend. Every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show today, we are giving you a word. At the end of 4 hours, you'll have a sentence. First person through with the complete sentence wins the tickets. Let's do this hour's word.
The Coachella Word of the Hour is...
Probably.
Probably what?
The Coachella Word of the Hour is...
Probably what?
Probably. Probably is the word. The word is probably.
The Coachella Word of the Hour is...
Probably.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
That's the word.
That's the whole word, right. So that is word three.
The Coachella Word of the Hour is...
Still probably.
Probably.
That is word three of the four-word sentence today. So about an hour from right now, you'll have a chance to win your tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show.
That was the Coachella Word of the Hour.
We do good work.
Probably. Showbiz Beat coming up. The great funny man Norm Macdonald joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, though, time for Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
It's sort of odd because it's really true, and I've never met anyone else like this.
Mm-mm.
I've never met anybody in my life that loves human death.
Look, everyone dies. Everyone dies, just like everybody poops. We learned that lesson as a young person. Everybody dies, and it's interesting to see the ways that people go out because there's so many different ways you can go.
That's not interesting. It's tragic to me. It's sad always.
For instance, 64-year-old Jerry Mastis, driving around in New Mexico on a drunken binge for 3 days, did not notice that his 33-year-old companion Amy Marquez had been dead for most of that time. At some point, he noticed that her back was turning blue, so he pulled into a hospital and said, hey, something's going on with my friend. They determined that she had been dead for more than 2 days. Now, first of all...
Did he think she was sleeping?
Yes, he thought she was sleeping because they had been drinking incredibly large amounts of alcohol. And she was a paraplegic, so she was in a diaper, and he knew that she didn't need a pit stop.
Oh, man.
So he just assumed that she was asleep. until she turned blue. Police think she likely died of positional asphyxiation. In other words, she couldn't breathe while she was passed out drunk and died.
Wow. So that is not how you want to go.
It is not sexy. And it's not that great a date for Jerry, by the way. I mean, I was like, well done, dude. You're 64. You got a 33-year-old to hang out with you? Then I realized she's a paraplegic in a diaper. She's drunk. And, oh, yes, she's dead.
Oh,
so that's not necessarily a good way to go, right?
No.
Right.
I don't think
here's a story out of the north side of Chicago. Neighbors called police and said, hey, we haven't seen our 80-year-old neighbor, Cecilia Opeka, for some time. The cop showed up and found Cecilia. She had been dead for 3 months. Also living with her in her home was her 43-year-old son. And yes, you guessed it, they were hoarders.
Oh, no.
They were hoarders, and mom was found badly decomposed under a pile of debris.
Oh!
Now, at some point, doesn't the son go, God, I haven't seen mom in a while.
Hey, what happened to that woman that used to live here? Even hoarders.
However bad that house smelled, it can't have smelled as bad as a decomposing body. Like, wouldn't you notice the difference in the smell?
Did you
say 3 months?
He must be
literally crazy.
Yeah.
He must have no sense of smell, right?
Well, yeah, at the very least. But I'm saying full boat crazy.
Well, it's possible. I just hope the hoarders' cameras were there, because that's an episode I'd like to see. Imagine how much stuff must have been in that house that a woman could be dead for 3 months under it, and you don't find her, right?
Wow. That's ugly.
Here's a very sad story. And by the way, this is the all-female corpse edition of Beans Death Corner, which we've never had before. So
had a theme.
I'm very pleased with this one today. This is Brazelton, Georgia. Police officers have arrested a 15-year-old girl. This one just happened last week, by the way. She shot her mother in the head because they had gotten into an argument about the 17-year-old boy that she was dating.
Ooh.
So she kills mom, then has the boyfriend over, and they have sex. Then she goes to a neighbor and says, and I can't figure this one out at all. She goes to a neighbor and says, hey, my mom's not breathing. Will you call 911? So she's the one who turned herself in, essentially, to the cops. And then the cops showed up and found mom dead on the couch.
With a gunshot wound. So the whole, my mom's not breathing, maybe there's a reason for that.
Yes, her plan was to pretend that she didn't have any idea what happened to mom, that somehow mom just was sick and wasn't feeling well.
Well, that's the dumbest plan I've ever heard.
I don't know why she was thinking that maybe it wouldn't be obvious that she'd been shot in the head with a semi-automatic pistol. This girl does not have it going on.
What about the bullet hole in the dome? What about that?
That seems
to be important.
And what about the part before she calls 911 where she shoots her mom because she doesn't like the boy she's dating, so then she has the boy over and they have sex in the house before they call 911. What about that?
You think she was doing it in front of her?
I bet she was.
What do you think of that?
Oh, God.
Is this the worst death quarter ever?
Yes.
And finally,
there's more.
Police on Sunday in Lahore, Pakistan. They arrested a man. This is actually, I'm cold and heartless, and I love death, but this story is even rough for me.
Well, let's not do it. Let's just cut our losses.
The family of a 24-year-old who had tragically died tried to visit her at the cemetery. When they got to the grave, they realized that it had been dug up and the body was no longer there. So they called the police. Who stole my daughter?
Right.
The police are able to follow footprints into the woods where they find two men in Pakistan who have been living on dead bodies for 10 years.
Wait, you mean cannibalism?
I mean cannibalism. For 10 years, they've been grave digging and living on bodies in the woods.
Look, that's a really ugly story, but let's say you're a cannibal. Right?
Right. Okay.
Graveyard is the mother lode.
It's a buffet, right?
You could exist forever on that.
10 years they had gotten away with that. And they would still be getting away with it if it hadn't been for those meddling kids. And that is today's Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
The great Norm Macdonald joins us after the top of the hour. He was so good on Saturday Night Live. He's such a funny guy, and I don't think we've ever had him on before, so I'm very excited to welcome him in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat, it's us. Hey, by the way, if you am already starting to get some emails from people who want links to the stories from Bean's Death Corner, because it was particularly gruesome today, you can go to kevinbean.com. We do have a post up there that has additional details and photos and everything you want to make your day.
Bean's gruesome friends all need to look at it. Are there photos? I hope there's photos.
Yeah, there's some photos.
All right.
Let me start by giving away some free stuff. As you know, all this week on the Kevin Bean Show, we have tickets for Fast Five. This is Fast and the Furious, and then Faster and More Furious, and then the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, and I don't even know what the fourth one was, but this one is just called Fast Five. We've got an advanced screening that you can go at the AMC Burbank Theater this coming Friday night. The movie does come out for two more weeks, by the way, on Friday, April 29th. The Rock is in it, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Jordana Brewster. They're all back together again. If you want to go it, go see it. You can at 1-800-520-1067. We've got, I think, two pairs of passes for you this hour from the Kevin Bean Show.
Let's talk about Lady Gaga. This doesn't happen as much as we would expect it to, but on TMZ.com, if you go to that website and you search the Lady Gaga video, she's on stage in Houston, and she's standing on top of a piano, and she tries to step down onto the piano bench so she can get down on the floor and start singing, and mm-hmm. she face plants so sweet.
Oh, dude.
Just right into the ground. It was beautiful. And then, like she's superhuman, she grabs the mic and just keeps right on singing. Like, what?
That's impressive.
I thought that you just died and you're standing up singing. So you have to look at that video if you want to. It's at TMZ.com.
I don't want that to happen to Lady Gaga at all. I don't want that to happen to anybody.
I want that to happen to everyone as long as they're okay. I mean, it's funny as hell.
Betty White is in the news again, Kevin. I know you love her. She's whining.
No.
She's whining about kids today.
Really? What a surprise.
Now, kids today, if you're Betty White's age, the kids today can be 70, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was talking to the UK's Daily Mail there, and she says that a lot of stars today don't appreciate what they have. They party too much. They don't learn their lines. They're just plain unprofessional. And, yes, she's naming names. She, in particular, called out Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen, saying they could be the most blessed people in the world, yet they're ungrateful for their amazing life. And I think she's probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could certainly at least look at Lindsay and go, wow, there's someone who had a lot of potential talent at one time and seemed to have squandered away with making bad choices. I don't know that she needs Betty White piling on her. I don't know if that's helping the situation at all.
I would say to Betty White, thanks for that incredible insight. Really needed that. No one could figure that out on their own.
But once you get to be, what is she, 120? Once you get to be that age, aren't you allowed to just talk on anything and people have to listen?
No.
Really?
That's just the opposite. They talk about.
I think she's earned it.
Okay, old lady, you keep talking. Whatever you're saying, fine. She's earned nothing. Sir Paul McCartney is putting together his own tribute album. That's weird, right? That seems strange.
Usually, it does seem like that's an honor that somebody else should be doing for you.
The Sun newspaper in England says that he's choosing the songs and the artists that he wants to do them.
He's a control freak.
Yeah, so he's picking the songs. He put out a request to Billy Joel. He put out a request to Kiss. And apparently his son's favorite band, The Cure, he's going to have his son do a duet with, I guess, Robert Smith.
Okay.
So that's happening. What kind of a phone call is that? Hey, you know my music? Yeah. I'd like you to do a tribute to me. Isn't that bizarre?
That is weird, actually. System of a Down is doing the exact opposite. They are letting their fans choose what songs they'll be playing on their summer tour. You can go to System of a Down right now and offer up your six favorite songs by the band. What are the six essential songs you must hear if you go to a System of a Down concert this weekend? Not only are they going to take those into consideration as they put the set list together, but one winner will be chosen for every show on the tour to get free tickets and a signed copy of the set list, too. Since you're helping them put it together, they're going to give you a little souvenir in return. So that's nice. We had, I'm not sure, I think you were on vacation when we had Shavo and John in from System of a Down. You know, their first tour together in over 5 years, and they sound super pumped. And it sounds like it's going to be a great tour. So they're really giving back something to the fans. I love that.
I would like to request.
Did they do this one?
That's good. That's a good one.
Wait, here's my favorite part.
That's beautiful.
By the way, I think they do that one.
I think you're right. And my final story, Nicolas Cage probably thought he'd never find his Action Comics number one, the comic from 1930, I want to say eight or something like that, that debuted the Superman character. Sold at auction recently, by the way, a similar copy for $1.5 million. But Nick Cage had one stolen from his home 11 years ago. Well, it was just found this past week. Call Storage Wars, the TV show. Yes, they opened a storage locker in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California. And among the other items in there were the copy that was stolen from Nicolas Cage's house. So it did turn up. And what a dumbass to, I mean, if the person who stole it is the person who put it in the locker, what a dumbass to steal it, own it, and then lose it.
They must not have known.
Maybe.
You know, the price of it or something, because that doesn't make any sense.
Nicolas Cage is the biggest Superman fan in the world, by the way. He's the only one that has ever named his kid Kal-El that I know, which was Superman's real given name. And he at one time was being talked about to play Superman in a movie directed by Tim Burton. By the way, after that comic was stolen, and I don't know if it was a direct relation or if Nick was just having tax problems again, he sold off the rest of his comic book collection for $1.6 million.
Wow.
The dude was a heavy investor in comic books.
But that one got stolen, and now it's turned up.
Yep.
So now he's going to go, hey, what about all those other ones? I want this back. Can I unsell those? Celebrity birthdays today. We have actor Ed O'Neill. Very funny on Modern Family. 65 years old. Talk show host David Letterman is 64. As you know, huge fans of the Jimmy Kimmel Show. It's the best show on late night TV. Yeah. However, Letterman tonight does have Foo Fighters and Ricky Gervais.
That's a lineup. That's and you stick around after that, and they're going to be streaming live from the Ed Sullivan Theater a full, almost full, Foo Fighters concert. 90 minutes of Foo Fighters concert tonight, starting at 6 o'clock West Coast time. You can go to KevinAndBean.com or KROQ.com and see that for yourself free.
Singer, actor, Pussy David Cassidy is 61 years old. Art Alexakis of Everclear is 49. Shannon Doherty is 40. Bassist Guy Berryman of Coldplay is 33. Actress Claire Danes, 32. Actress Jennifer Morrison, 32. And model actress Brooklyn Decker is 24. And Hannah herself, the little girl that was killing everybody in that movie this weekend, Saoirse Ronan, 17 years old. Which is good because she was a little unnaturally hot at times.
Wait a year. Wait a year.
One more year and then we'll be...
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. It's been a long time since I have felt a special connection with one of our guests as quickly as I did with the great Norm MacDonald, who joins us in studio here in the Kevin and Bean Show, when I found out that he loves Wreck of the M. Fitzgerald as much as I do. Well done, Norm. Well done.
Yeah. Well, what about Lake Superior, man?
It's the worst song ever.
What do they call that?
Well, they call it the big get your gooby.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been the best 2 minutes of my life talking to you.
Well, because that's what the old folks called it.
No, we're going to hear the whole thing, Kevin. Yeah, you're going to like it.
Yeah. It's not good when the skies in November come early.
You.
Man.
Yeah. That's... So that I don't know how that came up, but God bless Norm MacDonald for being on my side. For once, you're the first guest ever who's been on my side with the greatness of that song.
Oh,
so, Norm,
my God.
That.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've never had you on the show before. We've been a fan of yours forever. Yet here you are with a new program called Sports Show with Norm MacDonald that debuts tonight on Comedy Central. Now, do I hear that it's live? Are you really doing the show live?
No, they wouldn't let me do it live. But this
because
is
you're
I
Norm
did.
MacDonald?
Because, no, I don't know. I don't know why, but we did it last night late. And then, you know, they do pickups and stuff. But I said, let's just do it because I made a lot of mistakes.
Right.
And I was like, let's just put that on. I like live.
So sure. you wanted to put it on with all of the mistakes
yes.
intact.
Yes.
That's what we say we do.
Yeah.
As well.
Exactly.
Mistakes, yeah.
But, I mean, I would think if anybody could, if anyone could be trusted with a live show, it's a guy like you who has the background that you have in comedy. And for God's sakes, you know, Saturday Night Live, I mean, you know something about a live television show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, listen, Sid Caesar's good, too.
Okay.
Right. But he's been dead for some time now, Norm. I bet of the people available on Comedy Central now.
What, he's dead?
He's less good now that he's dead.
Oh, I didn't know he was dead. Listen, I didn't even know he was sick. But so, what do you make of this, man? You know the computer?
Yes.
Well,
pretty general topic. Can you narrow it in?
Well, a young lady was kind enough to go to her computer and get this old chunk of coal, some song lyrics by Mr. Rod Stewart. You ever hear of Maggie May?
Yes.
Of course. Classic song from 1971. Sure.
Well, you want to hear my impression? I'm working on a new impression.
Of Rod Stewart singing Maggie May?
No, it's Gordon Lightfoot singing Maggie May.
All right.
Are you ready?
Did not anticipate this today,
okay.
But sure.
Here we go. Ready?
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Wake up, Maggie. I think I've got something to say to you. It's late September and I really should be back at school. I know I keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore.
There we go. Nice.
There we go.
That's got to stay in the act.
I wonder why they won't put you on live.
It's a less sexy voice than Rod Stewart's. It's a less sexy renditioning.
Yeah, sure.
It's a more of a folksy seduction.
but equally valid, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Norm, you've been on a lot of TV shows, but you don't need TV. You're a big draw on the road. You do stand up all over this great country of ours and make a good living. Why'd you want to come back to television?
I kind of like just being on the road doing stand-up, but
did you say you like it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because a lot of comedians, that's the worst part of it, is the traveling and the being on the road.
Listen, man, you know what Willie Nelson said?
Nope.
Well, Willie said that thinkers and doers say that moving is the closest thing there is to being free.
All right, let me write that down.
You want to write that down?
But
I like moving around. I mean, listen, it crunches up your back.
So you like that part of it?
Not the crunch, not my back. I like it. My sciatica doesn't.
We're hearing a lot of words from Norm Macdonald for the first time ever on this show, by the way. This is not a smart show. So you're definitely raising the IQ a little bit. So basically you're being, they're holding a gun to your head. You're being forced to do a TV show that you hate and don't want to do.
No, I love the show because I love sports. Like, I've been offered political shows before, and it turns out I have no opinions.
Makes it tough, right? Yeah.
I don't care too much. Well, I was from Canada. You know, that's where I come from.
Right.
And
right.
So I think Americans, like, they're growing up. Hey, we got to vote for this guy because there's a lot at stake if you vote for the wrong guy. I don't know. What happens? The world blows up or something?
That's,
because you guys have a red phone.
We do have a red phone.
That's
right.
That's not a good idea. So Canada, we don't have a red phone. So when we vote, like, the issue will be like, how do you stand on the bridge, building that bridge? And so then you go, I guess I won't vote because who cares?
Who cares? Right, exactly.
There's no red phone to worry about.
Yeah, if you don't got a red phone, listen, I will tell you something about Canada. They have a queen.
They do?
Yes, they still have a queen.
It's not the Queen of England.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
oh.
The Queen of England, also the Queen of Canada.
Okay.
When you think about it, here we are. You know what I mean? The blood is running down the street of Libya as martyrs, you know, will do anything to overthrow this despot.
Right.
Egypt, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, mass rebellion.
Right.
You know, I think I could go to Canada, get a couple of dozen of my hockey friends, go over to Buckingham Palace and get that old bag out of office.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right?
Revolution is in the air.
Yeah, I'd take over, you know, and I'd be nice. I might kill a guy right away just to show.
That you're capable.
Yeah, no, just to show, listen, there won't be no coup here, right, you know?
the problem,
all a game. It's not personal, you know.
Right, but the problem is they just keep replacing every time a monarch dies, rather than say, okay, that's it, we're done with it, it's over. They just let her son or daughter move up.
Well, yeah,
the ranks.
Of course. It was like in Castro, like, you know, in where do you call that country?
Cuba.
Uh-huh. America had the foreign policy of... wait for Castro to die.
That was the plan, right? That's been our plan for 40 years. Been our plan.
So he's like, hey, we're dying. And then it's like, I forgot to tell you, I have a more ruthless brother.
I have a crazy brother.
So we're like, oh, God, is he going to die soon? No.
Now I wish Norm were doing a political show. Sports show with Norm Macdonald debuts tonight on Comedy Central at 10:30. We have many, many more questions about the program and about the sports. And I understand you're quite the poker player, Mr. Macdonald. We want to talk about that, too, when we return right after this on the Kevin. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Tonight, the debut of a new show on Comedy Central called Sports Show with Norm Macdonald. Norm is in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Norm, you still awake? You still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm awake.
Doing good? Okay.
Yeah,
you don't put a lot of work into titles, do you? Because Sports Show is the name of your show.
Yeah.
And your last Comedy Central special was me doing stand-up.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of...
How could you say that? He was the star of The Norm Show. He puts a lot of work into his titles.
Yeah.
Sports Show is the comedic look at
Tell you something about titles,
yes,
since you brought,
yes,
it up?
Sure, yeah. Of course.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
But I read an interesting article one time about the worst movie titles ever.
Okay.
And there's many reasons that a movie title could be wrong. One is it does not tell you what the movie really is about.
Right.
And they cited The Great Santini, a fantastic movie, mm-hmm, that no one showed up to see because they thought it was about a magician.
Okay.
And then they named all the top badly named movies. And at number one,
the worst titled movie.
It starred Julia Roberts and Macaulay Culkin.
Julia Roberts, Macaulay Culkin.
People did not want to see this movie. You ready for it?
Yep,
I am.
Dying Young.
That's a bad movie, yeah, title.
Yeah.
How would they not be sitting around a conference table and someone go, hey, that seems like maybe a bit of a downer. That's awesome.
Now, they couldn't figure it out. They were like, the next day, they were like, I don't know. We got Macaulay Culkin, Julia Roberts. I mean, these are huge stars. I just can't understand why the numbers are so low here for Dying Young.
Well, that's a good point. At least you know what you're getting with a Norm Macdonald title.
Yes, exactly.
The Sports Show is truth in advertising.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, we'll watch tonight, but take me through it. Tell me what we can expect. Will you be showing clips from actual, you know, baseball, football, basketball, hockey games and talking about them or interviewing athletes or what?
We will be doing funny jokes on all the top stories in the athletic endeavors of the past sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so like the show you taped last night, you'd probably talk about Manny Ramirez retiring or Barry,
yes,
Bonds with the steroid trial or something that's happening in the news right now.
Yes, Barry Bonds, Manny Ramirez, LeBron James's mother, Ben Roethlisberger.
Sure.
All
everybody,
the news, yeah.
NCAA, the Masters. Don't forget the Masters.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't care about golf. Do you care about golf?
Well, yes, I love golf.
You do, okay.
And yesterday, Sunday rather, was this Tuesday?
This is Tuesday.
Right.
Sunday was the, it was poised to become the best Masters ever played.
Right.
And then Tiger was making a run for it up until last
day. Tiger was making
a
run for it. He caught him at 8. Everything was exciting. Everything was set. History was about to be made. And a guy named Charles Schwartzel showed up and won.
Mm-hmm.
So no one cared for that.
and not in small part because his name was Charles, which just seems,
yes,
like,
yes,
an unambitious way to end your name.
C-H-A-R-L-E, Charles.
Charles.
What?
Yeah.
And he barely speaks English, right? So he was made for terrible television interviews.
Yeah. It was either him or, yeah. That's why you don't want to see Ankel Cabrera win. Because, you know, listening to an interpreter get all excited.
It's not the same, right?
The same,
so Comedy Central, I mean, they'll give you some time on this show. They're not like some of the networks where they put you on and if you don't pull the first night, you're gone, right? I mean, they'll hang with the sports show for a while.
They'll give you like a week.
I'll tell you this. The guys at Comedy Central, you know, like this guy, Kent Alterman, who's the president. This guy's a funny guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think
so. He'll stick with it.
I think he's going to give it a shot.
Right, you know hockey best. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
I mean, everybody's going to think I'm crazy, and I'm going to get so much hate mail for this. You know, maybe death threats.
Los Angeles Kings.
Who knows? No, I'm picking Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Wow.
To win it.
Yeah, and the craziest upsets.
They barely made it.
Yeah, but listen, I'm the guy that called Freddie Couples to win the Masters. Don't forget that.
I don't. Okay. This year, you mean?
Yeah, this year.
Yes.
So I'm due.
So Anaheim to win. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
how'd
I pick,
you do,
I pick a long shot every year. This is a trick I used to do as a child, and if you want to do this, it's kind of fun. This is what you do. You take a deck of cards,
okay,
right? And you say, just take that deck of cards, feller. You know?
Right. Use the word feller.
Yeah. And just pick one out and, you know, take it over there. I don't care. I don't guess what it is. Then, when the guy does it, right, he comes back and you go, was it the Jack of Hearts? Right? And it's usually not the Jack of Hearts.
Right.
But I
pretty
did
safe bet.
But I did it ever since I was 6. I just anybody would come over, you know. And at the age of 9 was my first hit.
You nailed one.
Whoa.
I said the Jack of, I say the Jack of Hearts every time.
Because eventually you figure.
Yeah, it's only
be.
52 cards.
Right.
So, Angus Delaney came over to visit, and I told her to do it. And I
you
said,
owned
the,
him.
Is it the Jack of Hearts? And he was like, ha! Ah, he thought I was a sorcerer.
Did you tell him to tell everyone he knows?
Yeah, I know.
Don't mess with you?
I never, but I that was the first time I ever exposed the trick to magic.
So, did you retire the trick after that?
Oh, no. I it's actually an experiment of mine. I've done it 4 times in my life. It's succeeded.
Okay. How many times have you picked the Ducks to win the Stanley Cup then? Because I'm feeling like you did last year, you're going to next year.
No, I have a real feeling about this. I can't completely explain it, but, I felt the same thing about the Falcons in the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
Okay, good.
And they, of course, weren't there.
No, they didn't even make it.
Weren't they playing at all, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to be our go-to guy then for sports predictions, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
I keep getting more and more doer.
With that track record, we're with you. Sports show with Norm MacDonald airs tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. And you should watch it. That's my advice to you, the Kevin and Bean listener. Norm, we are out of time.
Oh, you are?
Very much enjoyed your visit.
Wait, I wanted to say I was out of time.
Okay, you want to break up with us first? Go ahead.
Hey, let's talk more.
No, man, I'd love to, but... But listen, you guys are out of time. I mean, I can't do it, man. That assertion course isn't paying off.
All right, Norm. Thanks, man. We enjoyed it. Very excited right now. As you know, the hottest ticket in the world is tickets for all 3Ds of Coachella this weekend. We gave away a pair about a half an hour ago to Elizabeth Duran from Los Angeles. We're going to give away another pair right now. Every hour today on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've been giving you a word. We're about to give you the last one, and then we're going to invite you to call in to win your tickets. You ready?
The Coachella word of the hour is...
die.
Dude, that's a little harsh.
Die.
The Coachella word of the hour is...
die is the word of the hour, Kevin. That's what I'm saying. Die is the word of the hour. Oh. So you put the first hour's word together with the second hour, with the third hour, with the fourth hour. You got yourself a sentence. First person through who knows them all in order at 1-800-520-1067. You will be joining us at Coachella this weekend.
That was the Coachella word of the hour.
That's the sensitive, Omar. I really like that. That's beautiful.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to break in as soon as we get our first correct caller on the line. It should only take a couple of seconds.
I listen to you guys every day, and I was like, this is going to be my day.
Bad taste. You're our kind of person.
All right. It's a four-word puzzle for Coachella Ticks, Kath.
It's sentence is Kevin will probably die.
Yay!
Not only is that the winning sentence, not only did you win tickets for all 3 days, but that is a prediction that I am virtually certain is going to come true.
How about a little less cheering after Kevin will die?
Probably.
Come on
probably
now.
Kevin, you barely survived any other Coachella that you've been to. It's a miracle every year that you make it out of the desert
occasionally
alive.
Occasionally it gets rough.
We should change the probably to surely.
I dare you, Kathy.
I'm with you, Kathy. Who are you most excited to see, Kathy, with your free tickets?
Oh, my Lord. Everyone. I don't know. The list is great.
Yeah.
It is great. It's an unbelievable line. I mean, Black Keys and Kanye West and Arcade Fire. I mean, it's just amazing. You're going to have such a great time. And thanks a lot for listening today. Hold on. Chip will give you all the information, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Glad my impending death can make you all so happy.
You said probably. Look, you almost die at a Kings game now in playoffs. You play poker and Coachella.
Yeah.
You're going to die on Monday.
All right.
Well, congratulations, Kathy. And we will have more tickets to give away tomorrow. So everybody listen up. There's a baby brigade going on in Hollywood. I think Lisa and I need extra birth control.
What does that mean,
to
baby?
Sit through this story. Everybody's getting knocked up. Oh. Things are going crazy. Tori Spelling is pregnant with her third child, which means she'll weigh about 102 pounds.
Yeah.
When 9 months hits.
9 months.
Rod Stewart's daughter, Kimberly, is pregnant by actor Benicio del Toro. They are not a couple. That is my favorite part of the press release. I like that you now have to release a press release when you knock up some chick you banged 3 months ago.
That is sweet that they come out and, like, that's their announcement. Having a baby. We're not a couple.
So not together.
We're not together.
I barely know that guy.
Benicio's rep says Benicio is the father and is very supportive. I'm sure he will be every month with the check.
Although, isn't it going to be obvious that Benicio is the father when the baby comes out looking like Chewbacca?
Well, you figure you've got the Rod Stewart weird hair, and then Benicio, it's going to be a hot mess.
Yeah.
Although they are not a couple, they are looking forward to the arrival of the baby. All right, so congrats. Congrats on every other Saturday. It's going to be awesome. Victoria Beckham needs to not name her impending daughter. She wants to name her future girl. I think she's due in like 6 months. She wants to name her Santa because she likes the classic Spanish name.
Santa, like in Claus?
Yeah. Well, you know, Beckham. Victoria is, you know, comes from a long, strong Spanish heritage.
What?
Huh? Right.
In England. So I could see why she'd want to name her daughter Santa Beckham.
Now, I had a little dog named Santa's Little Helper, named after the dog on The Simpsons, and we used to call her Santa all the time. But it didn't really matter that much because she was a dog.
Right.
And she didn't know.
I don't think it's going to be... Well, she knew her name, but she certainly didn't associate it with Santa Claus, as every human on Earth will if Victoria names her baby that.
And it's a girl, and then you're going to be growing up with, like, you know, like a fat, chubby guy in a suit. I don't know.
What's your name? She's going to get asked that 5 billion times in the first 4 years of life.
What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say, what's up?
Well, this is why women with crazy hormones should not name their kids. There should be someone after the delivery in the room who approves the birth certificate. And you get like 3 strikes and then you're out. And then we just name them Michael or Jennifer and that's it. Then we're done for the day. Billy Joe Armstrong, why be in Green Day when you can also produce? He can add a producer to his long list of talents. The Green Day frontman has produced a new album titled Don't Be Dick from pop punk band called Emily's Army.
Don't be dick. Don't be a dick or just don't be dick?
Just don't be dick.
All right.
Don't be dick. The album's going to come out on June 14th, produced by Billy Joe. And you can learn more about that band and album at AdelineRecords.com.
I don't have to, though, right?
You don't have to. But okay. I'm figuring if you like Billy Joe and you like Green Day, you might like this new band he's producing.
All right. Okay.
The White Stripes may have quit the business, but they are releasing 2 more albums. One of them is the duo's final show, which took place in 07. It's going to be released on vinyl and is titled Live in Mississippi.
That's what I love about Jack White, by the way. They're going to release it on vinyl only. Because that's how you hit your audience.
Well, it's you. You're his audience.
You are his audience.
And you're going to buy it.
I am going to buy it. I mean, I get that he has a record company and that he can do whatever he wants with Third Man Records. But I don't know. Maybe for most people, also make it available digitally.
I have a clip of one of the songs.
Yes. Trust me, we ain't even begun yet.
Do you have to do the robot when you hear that? Because I do.
You do. I want to.
There's nothing you
my
can
do. My hip just went out left. My arm went up right. Let's do this.
You can't help it.
Happy
I think
birthday.
Something wrong with your turntable there, Kevin. It sounds like that record was pressed off center.
Just a tad.
What is this, Russia?
They.
That's a good point.
To Modern Family actor Ed O'Neill.
Bassist Guy Berryman from Coldplay. Actress Claire Danes. Actress Jennifer Morrison. SI Hottie Brooklyn Decker. Hannah actress Saoirse Ronan. And if you don't go out and buy the Wasting Light album by the Foo Fighters by my boyfriend Dave Grohl, I will personally come to your house and beat you up.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying. Yeah, you're a bad person if you don't buy Foo Fighters today. That's
so
for sure.
Good. It's a little short, though. I just want a couple more songs, Dave. That's all I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm putting in that request.
We put in a request for every 6 months. I don't think he's biting.
I would like to see him in early June, particularly at a summer concert, perhaps. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Alex. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, is it a good idea to invite your ex to your wedding?
Ooh.
Does that work out well?
If you're marrying someone hotter than she was, it might be a nice way to rub it in one more time.
Sure.
If that's your goal in life, I guess.
If that's your goal.
If you have time to think about that on your wedding day.
Rachel Nichols will be here tomorrow
as well.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about from Criminal Minds. I love her so much.
This is going to be ugly because Bean, you know how he gets creepy.
No, I don't get creepy. Rachel and I have true love, by the way. There's nothing creepy about it at all.
Totally. Yep.
Sure. That's happening.
Hey.
And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Hey.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.